about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
We have to do this thing now. It's completely crazy. It's crazy beyond your wildest nightmares, but it's happening.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
We have gathered you here for two reasons. First, someone has written, Fran can suck my in the men's room. I want a confession by 5 p.m. or you all have to work Columbus Day.
Yeah, Fran, we don't get Columbus Day off.
Oh, then you'll have to work on Martin Luther King Jr. Day. See how you like that?
We don't get that off either.
How about some of those Jewish ones in September?
Not even close. You left matzahs in the kitchen and said, keep working Jews. People were pretty offended.
Okay, can we not include that as part of the story?
I'm afraid we have to.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
He's down on the phone.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me. Roll another one.
Oh, that's fun.
Just like the other one.
Can you be the dummy?
This one seems to be about to quit.
Oh, yeah.
And I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
It's our time
Let's
to shine.
Shine. Let's shine.
The butthole experience. Right?
Roll another one.
All right, let's get started.
Just like the other one.
I am so ready to have sex with you.
This one seems to be about sex.
Look, kids, it's big time.
So you're telling me that B was a baller back in the day?
I have no idea what that means.
Just pass it around.
Are you kidding me? Get it together.
When the bones are that joint, my friend.
Rock dog.
I just pass it on down.
And now.
I can really go for some Hooters wings right now. 12 of them. To be precise.
Our feature presentation.
Who's precise when they want food? Don't you just go, wings.
Yeah.
That's it. That's the whole conversation.
But he wants 12.
12.
Yeah.
To be specific.
Precise.
Precise. Morning, your buddy, brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Friday, the 7th of April. What's up, you guys?
Friday.
Yeah.
Right?
I've had a weird morning already.
All right. What else has hurt?
Well, I'm playing with pain.
I did struggle trying to opening a bag of potato chips this morning.
Oh my gosh.
Will you please videotape that at some point so we can see it?
Why is there not a camera on him at all times?
That's what I'm saying. These chips, they're impossible.
Oh,
have you guys ever
had
one of those bags that just seems like it's super like cement sealed at the top and you're trying to pull it from the sides to get the bag to open and it just won't open?
Why do they put chips in a big vault?
So eventually you've got to go and you've got to get like scissors or something or a knife to slice it open so you can get in.
Or just hand it to a toddler.
Right?
And say, open it. Good Lord.
That wasn't even the weird part, though. That was just an aside. I've been up for 4 hours already.
All right.
Woo.
For 4 hours.
Because?
I was just waiting for this goddamn show to start. Because my wife, you're going to find this hard to believe, going out of town this weekend.
Wow.
What?
Something about meeting a man from the internet. I don't know. I didn't get the details. But
right.
By the way, kids,
this is a good example for you. The way to stay married is to never spend time with your spouse.
Always one of you out of town.
Right.
We were together for most of this week. So this weekend, she's going out of town. And so I took her to the airport, right? She had a super early, like a 6 a.m. flight or something like that. So, you know, at 4:15, I'm in the car taking her to the airport and stuff.
Do they not have Uber?
You're going to think this is weird, but Donna was really worried about taking an Uber.
They don't have a taxi?
even though they even she was just worried, you know, 4:30 in the morning, New Orleans, get in a car with some stranger. She was worried that she's going to end up buried somewhere.
Dude, she's getting in the car with you. I mean, that's
well, she's not like
much the same.
She's not likely to be killed by me. Is that? I mean,
that's
you're
right,
the murder
you can't
queen.
Even open chips.
You're
my
the
bad.
Murder queen, Allie. Is that? That's not weird.
No,
to be
it's
to
a
to...
new city. It's 4:30 in the morning. You've got a husband that sure one of his hands doesn't work, but he's able to drive. Yeah, yeah driver for sure.
Yeah, she had a better option. And
absolutely.
I, by the way, I offered to drive her from the beginning. She said I could take an Uber, but I'm really uncomfortable. And I said, no, don't even worry about it. So I'll drive. So I drop her off at the airport. And then I've got all this time, so I'm just, like, driving around. I thought, well, I better buy some gas because I was down to a quarter tank and only a fool would go beyond that.
Right.
Agreed.
And then I thought, well, I guess I'll do a little grocery shopping.
No.
So there I am at the grocery store. And then I come home, and it's still, like, an hour and a half before the show, and I've already watched all the news, and I've watched TV, and I've caught up on things, and I listened to the new Cold War Kids album, which, by the way, is phenomenal. Kevin, it's gonna be put it on your phone before you go out of town this weekend.
Will do.
It's going to be your favorite album of the year. It's so great. So I did that. And then, you know, took a shower and then took the puppies out and then made a chicken salad sandwich.
Wait, took the puppies out. Is that code?
No, okay. You know, just let them out.
All right.
So then I'm having a chicken salad sandwich, and that's when the potato chip incident happened. And
sure.
Then I just sitting around and just like twiddling my thumbs waiting for the show.
You sound A, crack-a-doodled, and B, you're going to hit a wall around 7.
That's what I'm worried about.
For sure.
I think I've already peaked. I think I'm already on the way down.
Yeah, you're cuckoo right now.
Wow.
Yeah.
So this is Wacky Bean, and then we get Birds Are Dying Bean a little later on today.
Yes.
Now, look, I'm a professional athlete, as you guys know, and a bodybuilder and all that. So I do know a lot about how you need to manage your training time so that you are ready to perform when the event happens. And I feel like today I blew it.
Okay.
I feel like I'm over-prepared. And therefore, it's going to be an early crash. So,
all right.
So I'm giving you guys
a heads up. Looking
forward
to that.
It could be Birds Are Dying Bean.
Man, there's something every day, isn't there?
It sure has been lately.
Every day, Bean comes in and goes, oh, I don't know if I'm going to live.
But guys, what's the need? Look, I understand that the potato chips have to stay in the bag because you want to keep them fresh. What's the need to put them in a Fort Knox situation, though?
They're not.
Yeah, I
but
guarantee
they are.
They're not. What you do is you just open the bag.
Yeah, but you grab one side of the bag with one hand and one side of the bag with your bad hand.
No one else has this trouble.
And then you just pull it as hard as you can, and it would not budge.
Because you have the strength of a hummingbird. That's why.
Hummingbird of all.
But he can fly fast.
He can.
I'm just saying the struggle is real, you
right.
guys.
Mm-hmm. And I'm just saying it's not. The struggle is in your head, my friend.
There's really no struggle.
Right?
Even.
It's a struggle with the
miracle.
Chips.
It's a miracle that I'm here today, and it's a miracle that I was able to feed myself because my wife wasn't here to open that bag of potatoes.
Right?
Right.
Man, oh, man.
Donna's so lucky.
We've got another 2 or 3 weeks left to bean, and that's it.
Do you think this is it?
Oh, yeah.
Why?
What do you think?
Your eyebrows just went up and down. And you went, yeah.
I mean, come on.
You know, you could be less
excited. He's in a spiral.
Right, but I'm just saying.
He's in a terrible spiral.
But, you know, you could be at least urging me to hang on instead of to jump. I'm just saying.
I mean, it's quality of life at this point.
Yeah.
I see.
Right?
It's true.
We're doing you a favor.
It's true.
Oh, I see.
Yes.
Are you sending me to a farm upstate?
Yes, exactly.
We're we'll all have lots of room to run and play in the fields.
Lots of room. Oh, look at you out there
in
having the time. Of your life.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
You have outlived your utility. There is nothing left for you to do but die.
Right?
It's my new motto. I got that. I had some time this morning, as I mentioned, so I got that tattooed across my back.
Nice.
Sweet. we'll have to guess at what point Bean will start losing it.
Yeah.
I'm guessing 6 o'clock hour.
I say 7:40.
7:40.
Yeah.
Okay. So Bean's going to lose it right during Cold War Kids live performance?
Oh, yeah.
Might be. Is that going to happen?
Oh, maybe he'll. No, he loves them.
Right.
So he'll hold on. He'll crash right after them.
Yeah. Okay. I think that's what got me through the day is knowing that those guys are coming in. I love them and I'm excited about that. But I think after that, I don't care about the rest of the
show. Okay. But right after that is Showbiz Beat.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And then Eric Stone Street's coming in.
Okay.
I'm going to nap.
So we have
Eric
Stone
Street is here.
That is not okay.
I'm unneeded. Eric Stone Street is phenomenal.
Yeah. He could pretty much carry the show by himself.
He'll do the show.
That'll
be a great time. That's a great time for us to dip out, I think.
Okay.
All of us?
Yeah, just give the mic to
Eric. Go ahead, Eric.
Hey, Eric, go. Anyway, that's happening today as well. We've got a brand new internet roundup. We've got the movie beat because it's Friday. And we have, this is the last day to get tickets for Coachella and the K-Rock Party House for weekend one. So your chance to win those are coming up as well. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 6.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, LANOC's alternative rock.
My microphone had been on.
This is the Kevin and Bean
Show. Foiled again!
At 5:54.
Hi, Ralph.
Speaking of hey, by the way, there's a new Jack White song that dropped out unexpectedly at midnight, and the only lyrics are hey. So I think, Chip, that's going to be your new favorite song.
Okay.
So the whole song is just hey.
But that's the problem, though. It's not, you can't do the hays when you're supposed to.
Right. How can you hay in a hay?
Oh, you can't hay in a hay. I see.
You don't know, man.
I guess I don't.
You don't pour my cereal.
I don't pour your cereal is accurate. All right, Ralph is here. Cup of coffee in hand. Time
don't
for our first.
Don't Bogart that
not yet.
Joint. What?
Not yet. We're not. The show's not over yet. It is time for our first look at the Showbiz Beat here on a Friday. What's going on?
How sad were you on a scale of 1 to 10 when you heard Don Rickles passed away yesterday? I was full 10.
I'd say 9, just because he's that old.
I know, we all
still
saw it coming, but still.
I know.
I was like, ugh.
Yeah, the greatest of all
so
time.
So many goods are dying, and so many bads are living.
I was at a 3, but let me explain.
A 3!
Oh,
man.
Oh,
boo!
Kill Kevin! Oh, sorry. I
bag desert?
Over the top.
Another bag in a desert? I never really found him that funny. However,
wow.
Having said that,
you're off.
A lot of people that I love, comedians that I love, were crushed.
And think he's the greatest
right.
of all time.
Right.
So
that's what brought it from a 0 to a 2 or a 3.
By the way, greatest of all time professionally and personally, too.
Right.
Adored by his friends and fans. Adored. As just a genuinely nice guy.
Here is the genius of Don Rickles. And it's shocking, shocking that Kevin doesn't recognize this. But he was known as the world's greatest insult comic, which is a broad term and really sort of a misnomer, where he would, yes, attack someone, but never really insult them because, and here's the only reason he could get away with it, is because apparently, and really I think you could sense it, and that's why he was so successful, he was the least judgmental, had the least amount of animosity of any comedian working.
Yeah.
It was his pure kindness and sweetness and his goodness of heart that allowed him to say those things, and you just knew that there was no real vitriol underneath any.
Never malicious,
right.
ever.
Right.
You felt that for sure.
So the opposite of Bean.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
Bean will say something nice to you, and you can
right.
say, that doesn't feel right. Why is that? Because you can just sense underneath it. It's just all that bubbling evil.
Let's get back to Don Rickles, if we could.
And, of course, he was part of Sinatra's Rat Pack, more or less a de facto member for many years. He was the voice of Mr. Potato Head in all those Toy Story movies, and just had so many great friends in the industry. Jimmy Kimmel was a very close friend of his, and Bob Newhart and David Letterman, Robert Klein, Tom Hanks, Tim Allen, all shared their thoughts and sadness yesterday on social media. And one of the most famous, probably, Don Rickles stories of all time. And I don't know how much of this you have, Bean, but it's regarding Frank Sinatra and one of the first times he ever met Sinatra.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have that, the way Frank told it on The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson in the 70s. Would you like to hear that now?
Yes, please.
It's a classic Don Rickles story.
This is a long time ago, long before Don got married. I was eating dinner in a restaurant in New York, and I was sitting with some friends, and he came over to the table, and he said, Frank, do me a favor, will you? He said, I'm sitting with a very pretty girl, and I'm trying to make out, you know. And he said, I told her I know you, and she really doesn't believe me. Would you stop by the table? I said, all right. I was just about finished. I was down to the espresso. And finally, he went back, and I walked by the table, and I said, how are you, Don? Nice to see you. He said, can't you see I'm eating, Frank? What are you doing?
Come on!
That is a fantastic story.
It's genius.
Yeah. To do that to Frank Sinatra.
Peyton Reed, my friend who was the director of the Ant-Man movie and also Down with Love and some other great films, he tweeted a story yesterday about he was at the Palm, famous Palm restaurant here in Los Angeles, and he was in his booth with his wife and Don Rickles. This is recently, shuffles by, obviously he's 90 years old, And as he was going by, Peyton said, I respectfully said, hello, Mr. Rickles. And all he said was, not now! And just kept going. Ah, come on. Don't be dead, Don.
I don't. Does that work?
I don't know. No, I'm trying anything. All right. Anyway, passed away at the age of 90, so there you go. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Francis Ford Coppola.
Wow.
78 years old today.
Just the name got a wow?
Just that he's alive and great and made my favorite movie of all time ever, so I just am delighted and happy to hear his name. That's all.
What is happening?
Right?
What movie?
Apocalypse Now.
That's your favorite movie of all time?
Yeah. It is.
Huh.
That's your favorite movie of all time?
He said that for a while, yeah.
That's dark.
My one and two are Apocalypse Now and It's a Wonderful Life, and they kind of vacillate back and forth.
Wow, those are pretty much the same movie.
They're very similar, yeah.
It's the greatest double feature in history.
Apocalypse Now.
Mm. How long has it been since you guys have seen it?
Yeah, a couple years, I guess.
Genius, right?
Yeah, it's a great movie.
Yeah,
even I've seen it.
But it's a dark ride.
Right, favorite of all time?
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
Bean is Colonel Kurtz. He is there. He's upriver, and he's lost it, and it's all the horror. And, oh, the horror of the potato chips. Can't get them open.
Hey, you mocked.
Are you here to
tough,
take my
man.
Potato chips?
I had a rough morning today, Ralph.
Really
sure,
tough.
Sounds
Did
like
you hear it.
It.
I'm down a wing, and I'm just trying to get through the day, all right?
Doctor says you're not down a wing.
Nope.
At all, really.
Jackie Chan, legendary martial arts. Wow! Film genius. He is 63 years old today. And Russell Crowe. Oh! He is 53 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Brand new Kevin Bean Internet Roundup later this hour. Eric Stone Street from TV's Modern Family joins us on the program later on today. And we have live music from the band Cold War Kids all coming up. That's a pretty good show for a Friday right there.
Not
you guys.
Bad.
Not good.
At the end of the show yesterday, Ralph brought us a story in the showbiz beat about a young man named Jacob Stottermeyer. He is 17 years old, and he has prom coming up. And he decided, as seems to be the habit these days, to ask a celebrity to take time out of her busy schedule to do a thing that she doesn't want to do. That's a big, giant pain in the ass. And he made a video asking Emma Stone to come to prom with him.
All right, so you're adding a lot of your own feelings into there. You don't have any idea if she doesn't want to do it, or maybe she might find it charming or fun?
Why does Emma Stone want to go to a prom with a 17-year-old?
I'm saying you're just adding that in. You're guessing that.
But what's your guess?
She's one of the nicest people in the world, and if she could do it, she would. And if she can't, she won't. And either way, she'll be fine.
Right. It would be like working for free is what it would be for Emma Stone to go that night.
You're assuming it's work.
Just because you hate people doesn't mean Emma Stone does.
Emma Stone doesn't want to go into this high school and stand around taking pictures with 2,000 high school kids on a Saturday night.
Right.
I guarantee Emma Stone doesn't want to do that.
Or she might get a huge kick out of it because she's making someone's life.
No. I reject
it. Maybe no. That's also an option.
Then why do the celebrities do it that do it? I mean, the ones that go to the Marine Corps ball, the ones who go to prom with kids, or the ones that accept dates from the Twitter feeds or whatever. Why would any celebrity do any of that then?
It's good press.
Okay.
Okay,
well,
so
even if that is, which is the most cynical possible answer, if that's the truth, then where's the downside then for both parties?
Well, that's
kid gets to go with the prom with Emma Stone, and Emma Stone gets good press then.
Well, then flip side, you're asked to the Marine ball, and you say no, maybe some bad press.
You hate America if you don't go to that Marine
you
ball.
You hate the military.
I feel like the Marine ball.
You can't even
ball,
make time.
The Marine ball, I feel like, is a little out of this argument because that's something where, you don't support our military. That can turn ugly. This is just a kid asking her to prom.
This is not
don't like America and all that BS.
If Ronda Rousey had turned down that proposal to go to that military ball,
she would have been fine.
Let me finish. It in no way should be said that she hates the military or hates America.
All right,
in no way.
Take the military out of it. Kevin's right. What's the downside of someone who's saying no to a prom? I don't remember hearing that person's disgusting. They won't go to the prom with that person?
Look, I think Ali said this best yesterday, which is it's a crazy entitlement that you get a famous person. It's really just, hey, look at me is what it is for this kid.
Yeah, it's very showy.
That's why I don't love these kids that do this, because they're all about, hey, look how much better I am than everybody else in my school because I have a celebrity coming to the prom with me.
But they don't. There's no guarantee they have a celebrity coming to the prom. They're just putting it out there.
But that's
what
this kid
wants.
But don't you find people that actively try to make viral moments just exhausting? Which is what these kids are. I want this to go viral. I want everybody to bombard their Twitters, Instagram, saying, did you see this video? You should go to prom. You're trying to make something happen. It's just not authentic. It's gross. It's really gross.
I feel like both you and Bean could be right, mm-hmm. but also I'd like to hear both of you admit that you could be completely wrong.
Oh, well, I can't do that.
I think it's possible Emma Stone is the nicest person in the world, and she would have a delightful time. I just don't ever want to see her put in the position where she is asked to do something like this, because I think it's inappropriate and crossing a line. Look,
there's no line, and no one's putting her in any position.
There's a privacy line. Look, a privacy line?
What, did the guy hack into her laptop? Did he sneak onto her property?
He didn't sing to her in her own living room.
He just made a freaking video. Why'd you lighten up?
If I were single and I asked out a celebrity online, if I tweeted at a celebrity to go to dinner with me or go to the movies with me or go to a baseball game with me,
right.
You guys would all say that's incredibly inappropriate and creepy and you should never do that.
I mean, we would call you an idiot. But
what I'm saying is, same situation here. It's inappropriate and creepy and weird for him to ask Emma Stone out on a date just because he's a fan of her movies.
He's a kid. Lighten up. I know you have no memory of your childhood, but he's a kid who says, wouldn't it be great if I went to the prom with Emma Stone? And he put together a funny little video that he worked real hard on, and he put it out there. There is, of all the things to be offended and upset about, this kid is the most innocuous.
I'm not offended or upset. I just think enough. With this, it's enough. Ask out Julie from science class. Don't put pressure on somebody that has enough going on.
You think Emma Stone is feeling pressured right now?
When you start getting bombarded by a mob mentality online, absolutely. And guess what? I guarantee news stations have picked this up. We're reading articles from People magazine. Mm-hmm. Do you see
this,
Emma?
Because it's human interest. It's cute.
But that adds to a pressure. Whether you see it or not, that is pressure.
I think she can handle it. I think Emma Stone's a big girl. I think she can handle the pressure of the 16-year-old boy who asked her to prom. I think she'll manage it somehow. She'll be able to negotiate those choppy waters.
It's putting people in a position they shouldn't be in, period.
She's a big-time celebrity making tons of money, and I think she can handle a guy who adores her enough, a 16-year-old boy who adores her enough to ask her to prom.
Adores her enough and also
kind of charming.
And also really, really love La La Land. That's
right.
One of his favorite movies. So,
well, I mean,
and recreated,
that speaks volumes
and recreated
this
it to the best of his ability in a cute little video. I'm really surprised at the negativity that it's brought up in you.
I don't like it. That's
when
what
Ralph
I,
is
that's
complaining
what I have to say
about your negativity.
Yeah.
I mean, who's more calloused and world weary than me?
Right?
This is your area. I don't mean to step on any toes here, Ralph, but I'm very much against it.
But here's the thing, too. It also brings up this all just wear them down until they finally just say yes. It's
wear them down until they say yes.
You're projecting a lot of stuff onto this situation.
No, it's gross. Stop it.
And I'll also say, by the way, let's say Emma Stone, in your mind, did the right thing and went to this kid's prom. Now, do 1,000 other people come at her for things that they want her to do, that they want her to give up her time and show up at their thing and be with them?
I feel like she probably gets requests all the time from people everywhere. And she's perfectly fine saying, you know what? I wish I could be there. I'm busy. Boom! The whole thing's over.
Mm-hmm.
There's no pressure. There's no everybody looks at her negatively. She could easily just come out and say, that was very sweet. I'm glad that he enjoyed the movie, but I'm busy that time. So
look, I'm not saying anything negative about Emma Stone.
No,
however she wants to handle it is fine. I'm saying
you and Ellie think this is bad publicity for Emma Stone. And I'm saying
of pressure, apparently, where this 16-year-old kid is now. This is the thing that's going to break Emma. This is going to drive
that's
her into
not,
rehab
okay.
because she can't handle all the pressure of the 16-year-old's proposal.
That's ridiculous. Not even at all what I'm saying. It's this entitlement now of, okay, look at me. Okay, this is what I'm going to do. No, just be a freaking kid and ask out another kid. Don't ask out a celebrity. It's insanity. And it's shocking to me that you don't see that.
I don't see how it's insane. I think let the kid, he's 16-year-old once, let him ask whoever he wants to ask to the prom. And he's already said, you know, he's probably going to be turned down, so he'll probably ask someone, one of his classmates, but he took a shot. I don't begrudge the kid that.
That's creepy. It's weird.
No, I hope when he asks another class member, they say, oh, yeah, I'm your second choice.
Yeah, well, what's the matter? Emma wasn't available?
So it's good or bad? Thumbs up, thumbs down?
It needs Allie, to stop.
Thumbs down. Bean?
I say still some thumbs down, yeah.
And I'm fine with it. Thumbs up. Ralph?
Yeah, I'm thumbs up.
We're deadlocked.
Yeah, I know.
Scientific survey.
Nope.
Next segment.
Okay.
Hey, since Ralph is here with the movie beat, and since The Fate of the Furious is coming out on April the 14th, right, let's take care this hour of giving away tickets to that K-Rock screening 3 days earlier at the AMC Century City Cinemas. So if you love Fast and the Furious in the franchise, we want you to see this one first, all right? How do you win them between now and 7 a.m., Kevin?
You listen for one of the cast members of that movie that speaks on our show. They say, hey, it's so-and-so, and you're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. We got Charlize Theron. We have Vin Diesel. We have Jason Statham. We have The Rock. We have anyone else that's in the movie?
Ludacris.
Ludacris. Right.
So Black when you can't get on the list? Is that what's happening
here? So when you hear their voice between now and 7 a.m., you call and we'll let five people in to the advanced screening.
All right. That sounds pretty easy. So it'll be happening sometime in the next 40 minutes or so at 1-800-520-1067 to win tickets for The Fate of the Furious. Now let's find out what's in theaters this weekend. Ralph is here with the movie beat. Hit it, Steve.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
Sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat. Welcome to my world.
A couple films in limited release this weekend and some big budget blockbusters as well. Let's take a look at the stuff you're going to have to work a little bit harder to find. Like Their Finest is a movie coming out this weekend with an amazing cast. Gemma Arterton, who I love.
Me too.
Who do you love, Kevin?
Gemma Arterton. There's no way I can say it. Gemma Arterton.
Who?
I mean, I have to slur it. If I slur it, I can get away with it.
No, that's not getting away with it. If you're slurring it, you're not getting away with it.
I can't say her name.
One more.
Why can't you say it?
Am I supposed
it's
to
It's a perfectly fine name.
Why can't Chip roll her R's?
Oh,
I don't know.
Now it's going to be on Chip?
Wow.
Why do you dump it on the kid? What does she do? Talking about you and a person's name.
I'll Gemma Arterton.
Gemma what?
Chip was speaking. I'm sorry. I nailed it, though.
I don't think you did.
Gemma Arterton.
That was close.
That was the closest you
ever
got.
That's the closest that I'm ever going to get as well.
Remember when we had her on?
No.
I do.
I don't remember that, not even one little bit.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
Kevin, who's your girlfriend?
Bobcat leaves Gemma Arterton. I can't say your last
Give
name.
Give me another guy.
I've tried it like 10 times.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Yeah.
Who did we have on? Who was that, Kevin?
Gemma Arterton. Arterton.
I mean...
I don't know.
Oh.
Yes.
Here's what I will tell you. Moments with are so much worse when you're looking at the person whose name you're butchering. That sucks.
Also stars in the film Bill Nighy, who I love, Jack Houston. It's about a British film crew who's attempting to boost morale during the Second World War by making a propaganda film for the UK. Here is some clips from the trailer of Their Finest.
You know how it starts?
Twin sisters took their father's boat over to join the rescue.
We know how it ends.
338,000.
Home safe. Now all we have to do is fill in the gaps.
Mrs. Cole will need someone to write the slop.
Slop?
Girl talk. Women's dialogue.
I just can't do this anymore.
The work's good. None of them could have done any better.
Given opportunities only because young men are gone. But to turn our back on those opportunities, wouldn't that be giving death dominion over life?
Kevin will never see this film.
A lot of typing in that film.
There is. And a lot of talk of honor and Nazis. We will spot the Nazis. Also opening up this week in a limited release is Gifted. Chris Evans stars in this film.
Chris Evans.
You can say that.
See, it's easy.
Yeah.
McKenna Grace, Jenny Slate. Chris Evans plays a single man raising his niece, Mary, who happens to be a child prodigy. She is an exceptional child, and then he is drawn into a custody battle with his mother, who has her own issues, and it's about whether he'll be able to hold on to this kid or not after they've formed a very important relationship. Gifted is the name of the film. It's directed by Mark Webb, who's a fan of our show. I've talked to Mark quite often, and it looks just devastating And Chris Evans, nice to see him out of a superhero costume every once in a while. Here are some clips from the trailer of Gifted.
I think your niece may be gifted.
I promised my sister I'd give Mary a normal life.
You are denying the girl her potential.
How many seven-year-olds are doing advanced calculus?
You forgot the negative sign on the exponent.
Mary, why don't you say anything?
Frank says I'm not supposed to correct older people. Nobody likes a smartass.
My sister wanted Mary to be a kid. She wanted her to have friends and to be happy.
What's your greatest fear?
That I'll ruin Mary's life.
I was a good person. You wanted me before I was smart.
It's like my childhood.
Yes. Remember, Kevin, when right? they pointed out how gifted you were?
Right.
Look at him. He stopped eating rocks. I remember when he was 12. They were very happy. Colossal opens up this weekend in limited release as well. It's a story of a woman who is suffering a mental breakdown. And this is going to sound a little crazy, but due to that, she actually is able to control a giant monster that's attacking Korea.
Like you do. When you say that, it sounds terrible.
It does.
You watch the trailer, and it looks great.
It's hard for me to give this movie justice just by talking about it. But trust me, it looks terrific. Anne Hathaway, Jason Sudeikis, Tim Blake Nelson, one of my favorite actors, star in this film called Colossal. Here are clips from the trailer.
I'm going to show you guys something.
It's dancing.
It's dancing like...
Holy shit.
Ow! What was that? What was that?
A helicopter.
With the pilot and everything?
Keep it cool. Oh my god, these people are looking at us.
She's the monster.
All right, that didn't do it really justice either.
That clip was not a great clip.
But go see the movie. Trust me. Looks awesome. Going in Style opens up this weekend. This is a remake of a classic comedy about three old men who decide they've had enough trying to pay their bills and deal with Medicare and Medicaid, and their retirement fund has been absconded with. So they're going to take matters into their own hands and rob a bank. Morgan Freeman, Michael Caine star in this film, along with Anne Margaret. It's directed by Zach Braff.
Oh.
Yeah. Here's some clips from the trailer of Going in Style.
Semtex Steel has frozen all pension payments.
These banks practically destroyed this country, and nothing ever happened to them.
I want to rob that bank.
Let's go get our money back.
You 5-0?
We're practically 8-0.
From now on, you communicate by texting.
How do you work with that button?
It's a touchscreen.
I'm groping it all over. Nothing happens.
Alan Arkin.
Alan Arkin is always fast.
Always great. Yeah. Great cast.
Michael Caine, too. Yeah, don't you just love watching
Morgan Freeman. Michael Caine, Morgan Freeman, Alan Arkin are the three guys who robbed the bank.
All right.
You're in, right?
I like it.
Okay. And lastly, Smurfs, The Lost Village. Ariel Winter, Michelle Rodriguez, Joe Manganiello, Julia Roberts all lend their voices to this fully animated new take on the Smurfs legend. It's Smurfette and her friends, brainy, clumsy, and hefty.
Really?
You heard me. Brainy Smurf, clumsy Herf, and hefty Smurf.
Poor
Is
hefty.
That real?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
And they've got to go into the Forbidden Forest and take on challenges to Smurfness. You know.
I don't know anything about the Smurfs.
Finally. Come on, Bean, you know
something
the
that Bean shouldn't know anything about that he doesn't.
Smurfy, it's Smurfy goodness.
Right. Is it Smurftastic?
Here's some clips from the trailer.
If there really are other Smurfs out there, we need to find them.
What if this means the Lost Village isn't a legend?
Now you're talking about maps and mystery Smurfs.
What's going on in here?
None of your business, Nosy.
We mean you no harm. We're looking for the Lost Village.
Wow!
What the hell?
I'm really freaking out, you guys!
Smurfy goodness. That's the guy from 30 Rock, right?
Yeah, Jack McBrayer.
Yeah, Jack McBrayer is one of the Smurfs as well.
Yep.
I think he's a horny Smurf.
He's not hefty. I know that.
Those are your choices for this weekend. What do you think? Colossal, right? Trust me on this one. I know it sounds weird, but Colossal.
Yeah, also Kevin Smith, was that the one he was talking
about?
Yeah,
Kevin's seen it.
Saw it and loves it.
So, yeah. There you go. And Going in Style, of course. Can't go wrong with that cast. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman.
Ralph Garman.
Movie beat.
Our producer, Dave, the King of Mexico, joins us in studio. Hey, King, how are you?
Good morning. It's Friday. We ain't got nothing to do.
Oh, no, we got a lot to do. All right.
I like it. Good reference. We do have a lot to do, by the way. The band Cold War Kids is going to be in here performing live and doing an interview with us coming up next hour. And the great Eric Stone Street from Modern Family at 8 o'clock. So good show today. Dave is here because he is the keeper of KROQ.com and the Internet Roundup. We have the best viral videos of the week all in one location for you. Let's hear what the theme song is like this week.
Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
Yeah! Check it out, y'all.
Internet Roundup. Oh, watch me, baby.
Thug life.
Thug life.
When you think thug life, you think Kevin and Bean, right?
Yeah. Sure.
It's a good batch of videos this week, you guys. I do urge you to check it out. The bad lip reading on The Force Awakens is very funny.
Oh,
you
no. Check that out. That's been taken down.
It has been taken down.
Oh, yeah. No, really?
I saw it yesterday. It was so funny.
Oh, I know. Yeah, there's some weird story behind it.
It was up yesterday, Bean. Really?
Yeah.
And then...
Yeah, there's some like copyright law that pulled it down, and they're trying to get it back.
But he was perfectly healthy, Kevin, and then he had a heart attack. How is that possible? One day he was fine.
Right.
Yeah.
So let me guess. You don't like it?
I don't like it at all.
All right.
Kevin's favorite video of the week is the grandma who goes to visit the zoo.
I mean, come on.
And a chimpanzee just fills his hand and just hurls it, and it hits grandma square in the center of her face. She has a nose covered in poo.
It's hanging off her nose.
Right.
And then everyone just looks at her.
And then she seems to, like, turn and look at the camera like, huh? So she did a spit take almost at the camera. I've got poo on my face.
Now, that's only hilarious if it doesn't happen to you, right, Kevin?
Right. I don't know, man. A chimp, I would be honored that happened.
Would you?
You'd be honored.
I'd be honorary.
Well, I assume we can make that happen.
Let's go to the chip. Let's go to the zoo. And I'll be like,
by the zoo, like, getting ready to dance.
Get
in the way.
Well, let's take a look at some of the ones we've got great audio for you. Sean Spicer is remarkably still the press secretary for Donald Trump. I don't think anyone expected he was going to last that first week, but he's still got the job. And somebody noticed that he tends to talk to the Washington White House press corps like they're kindergartners. So who was it who had the idea to put these together? It was Trevor Noah, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Daily Show, yeah. So they edited it together, so it looks like Sean Spicer is actually giving the briefing to a room full of kindergartners, and it's priceless.
Good afternoon, everyone.
Good afternoon, Mr. Spicer.
You got to take your questions. One at a time. Cecilia.
Can I see the fish today?
No.
Major, hold on, hey, Major. Cecilia's asking a question. That doesn't mean you get to jump.
Last week was boy.
Glenn, I'm actually asking Cecilia's question. If you could be as polite as not to interrupt.
Julie.
When
are we going to learn about Russia?
I heard Russia was the biggest country in the world.
Hey, Jonathan, can you stop interrupting other people?
But you never let us talk about Russia.
Hey, Jonathan, somebody's asking a question. It's not your press briefing. Huh? Julie's asking a question. Please calm down, Julie.
When?
Brian, you get the same treatment.
It's so good, right?
It's the best.
Super Deluxe has been crushing it in 2017 with one great video after another. Do we know anything about this rapper that did this week's video, Dave?
I don't know.
He has done a video that I think is going to be very useful for manly men like me who aren't sure when it's appropriate to cry. Like, under what circumstances am I, as a full-grown man, allowed to shed a tear? And I think this song is going to help us understand that.
If you a real man, they say you can't cry. I say that that's a goddamn lie. It's a lie. Just because I do a lot of drug dealings, yeah. That don't mean I ain't in touch with my feelings, no. I could get fly and I could get high. But let y'all tell it, I can't cry. Man, they got us all tricked. They say you can only cry over like this. You can cry for your mama, cry for your kids. Yeah. Cry in the courtroom if you get hit with the years. Yeah. Cry at a funeral or cry at a wake. Uh-huh. Cry at the urinal if it burn when you shake. Ooh. I cried when they shot my dog. No, they really shot my dog.
Oh, now that's just sad. Right?
Now I feel better about Logan.
Cry.
Yeah. And finally on this week's Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup, this is, I don't know how you feel about this, Kevin. You know I love parrots.
I know you do.
And I love parrots that talk.
I hope we get a chance to talk to the parrot.
Call.
And I think Allie's right. I think we need to have our listeners with their parents call in so we can talk to the parents. This guy is amazing. His name is Einstein, and I think this parrot knows more words and more impressions than any parrot I've ever seen before. I think he has like over 80 of them or something like that. He's at a zoo in Knoxville. And just listen to a little bit of the range of what Einstein the parrot can do.
Are you a pirate? Can you blow a kiss? Can you toot? That's gross. Can you do a red wolf? How about an owl? The pretty songbirds? How about a rooster? How about your best friend, the skunk?
Stinker.
Can you fall down? Did that hurt?
Ow, ow, ow.
Cry like a baby? Can you get down?
Is it amazing or is it amazing?
Bean, have you heard his Matthew McConaughey?
Yes.
It's unreal,
you
guys.
You want to hear my Matthew McConaughey?
Yes, I do.
All right, all right, all right. JKL. Just right. Keep living. Yeah, all right, cool. I mean,
see, anybody could do it.
Ooh,
I'm a parrot.
That wasn't
He's
good.
A bird, though, and he does
Ooh,
all this.
Yeah, anyway. They repeat whatever you say, so.
But they trained this parrot to do that, though.
I feel like that was impressive.
It was
I
very
don't know why Dave is rating
a bird.
Absolutely
right.
Was.
You can see all these videos and so much more at KREC.com or KevinAbean.com. It's a brand new Kevin Abean Internet Roundup.
Internet Roundup. Come on, y'all. Internet Roundup.
Oh, watch me, baby.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, L-A, and O-C's Alternative Rock. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:51.
Hey, Ruff Garman.
Yeah?
What's going on this Friday?
Nothing good.
Oh.
Nothing good?
Don Rickles is dead. Screw you. Screw you and your trombone of death.
Hey, I'm right there with you. It's very sad. A great loss to the comedy.
Yeah, I know. There's only some way you could not play that.
Bean does not choose.
The horn of disrespect.
Bean does not choose. He plays that for everyone.
Except David Bowie.
Yeah.
Doesn't?
Did he not play for David
he
Bowie?
He did not.
No. I've been told that. I don't remember that.
Bean chooses.
I've been told that.
Does he?
I don't think
whatever
so.
He wants.
I don't think that's true, Ralph. My intention is never to show preferences. But here's my question for you. Didn't I read a few weeks ago that Don Rickles had a new TV show coming out this year that he'd already filmed about something to do with comedy?
You're asking me if you read that or not?
I'm asking you if you've heard that as well.
I've
a show
not
in the
that.
Can.
I have not heard that.
Okay.
You thinking Bob Newhart, maybe?
No, I'm thinking Don Rickles.
Hmm.
I'll look it up. I'll get back to you.
Thinking George Carlin?
Oh. Even at 90, it was sad to see the news yesterday, though. I agree with you.
Yeah, it was crushing for those who loved comedy and to Don's friends as well. He was known as an insult comedian, when it really sold him short because he did more than just make fun of people, though he was hilariously, brilliantly quick-witted and hilarious when he did do that, but he also just had a razor-sharp mind. Even late into his life, he was still performing. It's still hilarious. I saw him in Vegas just a couple years back, and he was just so funny, but also funny in real life as well. Jimmy Kimmel, who was very close with Don, paid tribute to him in his monologue last night. It was tear-filled for Jimmy. It was hard for him to get through. Because he was crying through a lot of it regarding the loss of his friend. But he told an amazing story about a dinner at a very high-end restaurant with Don Rickles and his wife, Bob Newhart and his wife, and Frank Sinatra and his wife, as well as some others.
Wow.
And the story's about a minute long, but it's well worth it. Here's Jimmy talking about the passing of his friend.
Sinatra would sometimes get angry for whatever reason, and flip out. So one night, they were all at a big table at a very fancy restaurant, and the restaurant was all white. Everything was white, the walls of the tablecloths, everything. And Don and Barbara, his wife, and Bob and his wife, Ginny, were at the table, and Frank was drinking, and he was not in a good mood. He was getting surly, which put everyone on edge. When Frank wasn't happy, you had to watch it. So they're drinking, and the food comes, and the waiter brings a bottle of ketchup and puts it on the table in front of Frank. And for whatever reason, this sends Frank into a rage. He doesn't want ketchup on the table, so he takes the bottle, and a very crowded, elegant restaurant, he throws it at the wall, and the bottle smashes, and there's ketchup everywhere, and everyone in the restaurant stops. There's like a gasp. And Don, without missing a beat, turns and says, "Frank, will you pass the ketchup?"
Yeah. The Don Rickles series was just announced last month, Ralph. It is called Dinner with Don, and it's very much like that Dinner with Five show that we used to enjoy so much with Jon Favreau having dinner with a bunch of famous people and just recording the conversation. He's already shot 10 episodes. Guests include Billy Crystal, Robert De Niro, Amy Poehler, Vince Vaughn, Paula Rudd, Zach Galifianakis, and Martin Scorsese. No air date yet for the series, but that sounds like it's going to be a lot of fun.
Well, left us a little gift behind. We heard that Tony Romo will be taking over for Phil Sims on CBS for the football broadcasts. How did Phil Sims find out about that?
Twitter.
Oh, no.
No, Kevin, text, though.
Text,
very
yeah.
close. He was given a text from his son, Chris Sims, who found out from an inside NFL source. Chris says, I had to tell my dad first before CBS or anybody because I found out from an NFL insider. I forwarded the text message that was sent to me, and it basically said, hey, listen, sorry to be the bearer of bad news, but Romo's being offered your dad's job on CBS. That sucks. I'm sorry. And my dad was in Barbados, and I had to forward the text message to him to let him know. So that's how Phil found out he was losing his job to Tony Romo.
That sucks.
Phil still had 2 years left on his contract with the network, so I'm assuming he will get paid out. But as Chris, his son, puts it, that's just not what you want to do to a good, hardworking employee that's been for 20 years kind of the face of your football coverage. So,
you think someone, some other network will pick him up?
Sims, they do tend to travel well, these guys, these broadcasters. But obviously, if he's got 2 years left on his deal, he doesn't have to take a job for a couple of years. He could probably relax. I don't know whether he'll still be doing the Inside the NFL show that he was doing on Showtime as well. But I guess we'll wait and see. A lot of pressure, I think, is going to be on Tony Romo when he starts up, being with the first team right out of the gate. So I think he will be under the microscope as we watch him try to not fumble his words, right? Because fumble is a football term as well.
This was a success.
How come you never got into play-by-player color, Kevin?
Right? I should have been.
Yes.
I've always said that.
We have always all said that.
You remember my hockey audition?
I do. It was the best. And another day, another goofy fix-all from Gwyneth Paltrow's Goop site. This time, Gwyneth is recommending earthing therapy.
Earthing.
Earthing therapy. Gwyneth says that walking barefoot outside neutralizes free radicals in your body by soaking up electrons from the ground. She says it can cure insomnia, inflammation, depression, arthritis, and other ailments. She recommends at least a half hour of walking through a park or a beach every day.
50 Shades of Crazy.
To soak up the electrons from the earth.
Wow, you're bringing the crazy extra hard today, huh?
Listen, man, you don't know.
I would think most of those side effects or results are just from walking.
And relaxing.
Right.
Yeah.
You don't know.
I do know.
I don't know.
Earth.
I think so.
Earth has electrons.
Okay.
Shoes are the downfall of man.
Didn't know that.
Jay, who works here, he knows that.
He does know
that.
At
the station, he knows that.
Bitches be crazy.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Francis Ford Coppola. Wow! He's 78 years old today. Jackie Chan.
Wow.
He is 63 years old. Russell Crowe. How much do we love Russell Crowe? Right?
Right.
Did you guys see, what was that movie he did with Ryan Gosling?
Nice Guys.
Did you see Nice Guys?
I don't think I did.
Oh,
I wanted to, though. It looked like my kind of movie.
Hate you.
With Jodie Foster, too, that one? No? Just kidding.
What happened?
I thought Jodie Foster was in that one, too.
No.
I'm confused.
Kim Basinger was in it.
She's a lady.
She is. They have that in common.
You taking that as a win?
Yep.
Anyway, it's awesome. It's hilarious. Yeah, I think you'll enjoy it. I think you should check it out.
All right.
It's my recommendation.
All right.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
An amazing new album came out at midnight called L.A. Divine by Cold War Kids, who we love here at K-Rock. And they are in the building and are going to be joining us in studio in just a few minutes. We'll get a chance to talk to those guys. They'll be performing a couple of songs live for us. It's going to be a lot of fun. That is all coming up here on K-Rock. But first, aren't you surprised, Kevin, to see Sylvester Stallone as popular as he has always been? He's 70 years old now, almost 71, and he still is a big box office star.
Yeah, he does a Rocky like once every 10 years.
Right? It seems like that.
But then with the Expendables.
Yeah, he just got a whole new lease on life. I mean, he, you know, he directed the first one. I think he co-wrote all the movies. I think they've made three of them so far. They've been big, big box office hits. And he was up for $20 million for the fourth Expendables movie. And according to reports, has walked away from the project. Says he's not going to do the new Expendables because of disagreements with the studio on the director, on the script, and other things about the movie. I mean, I don't care who you are or how rich you are. Walking away from $20 million to do something that your fans love, that's got to be a tough decision to make.
Yeah, I would think so. But everything must have gone wrong, right? He's the one that sort of created the whole movie.
Shouldn't you have said,
he wrote it.
Shouldn't you bend to him?
I would think so. I would think at this point, Sylvester Stallone has proven himself on the Expendables franchise. He knows what he's doing. Let him do his thing. So. Yeah. I mean, I don't know what's going on here, but we thought we'd find out. We asked Dave if there's any way we could talk to Sly back on the phone. He's always very generous with his time. Mr. Stallone, welcome back to K-Rock, sir. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
We're doing really well. Thank you.
I'm
doing
fine. I'm glad to hear that you're doing well.
Thank you.
Because, you know, you're doing good.
Right.
And if I'm good and you're good, then everybody's good.
Well, are you good? Because it sounds like you're very upset about this Expendables.
I'm not upset, right? I'm upset.
Okay. I'm saying it's because you walked away from this movie.
You know, Expendables, you know, is a very important franchise for me,
Certainly.
And the character Barney Ross, right, who I played, Barney, is important to me, you know? And I'm not going to have him just come in and just do whatever. I didn't want to.
I don't know what you said there, but I think I strongly agree with you, Sylvester.
All right. So, you know, if the script isn't right and the director's not right, then, you know, you have to, you know, you got to do what's right.
Right.
You can't do what's wrong.
You don't want to do what's wrong, right?
Right.
Right. So...
Right.
I have to ask, because you've always surprised us with the cast members, you know, whether it's Jason Statham or Arnold Schwarzenegger, Dolph Lundgren, Terry Crews, whoever you, Mel Gibson, whoever you have chosen. Was that part of the problem? Was who you wanted in the movie the studios didn't want? Or
yeah, you know, I've tried, you know, cast, you know, legends in action films.
Right.
You know? And they wanted, first of all, they wanted me to team up with Chelsea Handler.
What?
Well, that's odd.
Right?
Yeah, that's a weird choice.
Doesn't I have a Chelsea Handler?
That doesn't make any sense.
I have a Chelsea Handler, and then you put a Chelsea Handler?
As an Expendable? No.
Right. And then, you know, like Amy Schumer's name was brought up. I was like, what is this, you know? What is this oldest thing you know? And then Kevin James.
What? Oh,
no. Yeah. I was like, come on. I got to go.
Well, I don't think that's necessary. All right, let's calm down. We're just having a conversation here.
Okay. I'm calm.
How are you?
What do you say?
How are you not?
Be calm. I'm calm.
All right.
Oh, no.
Okay. All right. Okay. All right. There we go again. I mean, all right. I don't think you need to shoot at anybody. I think we're just having a conversation.
Art.
Okay.
Sorry, it's my finger slipped.
Now, are you in charge of casting? I mean, I would think you would be the person.
No, you know, I don't work alone in these things, okay?
Right.
I have a say in it. But, you know, the studio, they have a say in it. Producers have a say. So, you know, I just can't do whatever I want.
I see. Okay.
But, you know, I'm holding out because I have a star that I think if I team up with, okay, if I team up with it, it'd be like the best Expendables ever.
Okay, so this is all over one casting decision.
Yeah, I want Barney, my character, he teams up, goes in the forest with Pico Taro.
Oh,
no. No.
Yes.
I like orange juice, right?
Thank you.
Thank you. No.
Tomato juice?
No.
Uh-oh.
Juice. No! I don't want to
juice! Sounds bad.
Yeah, orange juice.
Okay, it's bad.
Yeah. Orange juice. Yeah. Orange juice. Orange juice.
Right.
Orange juice, right?
That's a tough sell, I imagine,
that'd be
though.
The best Expendables ever.
I mean...
I like orange juice!
He's got out of hand now.
I give you first blood. Then you get the orange
baby killer.
Ben Pineapple, Apple Ben.
Right? Cold War Kids are here, you guys. Come on.
Hey.
Come on. Woo. Welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show. It's great to see you guys. We last saw you at Weenie Roast. How are you?
Doing great.
We're doing so good. We had a big album record release party last night that went late, and here we are early, and we're...
slept about an hour.
Goddamn heroes is what you are.
Now, do you operate well with an hour of sleeper?
Probably not.
Probably not. Okay.
Yeah.
Good.
Good. Very good.
Where was your party last night?
Downtown L.A. It actually was very fun. It was kind of a miracle we pulled all this stuff off. It was... there were tacos, there were cocktails, there were...
Oh, it was a pop-up thing, right?
Yeah, there was merch, there was my cousin was tattooing.
Now, so is your cousin a tattoo artist?
Not
just
not
in a back
the,
room?
I'm saying it was back room style.
No,
they were free, so it's okay.
There was no placard with any certificate of authenticity. Okay, of his
so they're prison
the
tattoos.
Yeah.
Was it Cold War Kids related?
Yeah, so here's the logo for the record is this L.A. kind of like cross L.A. divine thing that we kind of created.
Right.
So it was like, you got to get that one thing. And
did your cousin do that?
Yes, he did.
Okay.
So
okay.
And it was kind of interesting because when we were first having the idea, we thought, you know, is maybe like five people going to want this?
Right.
And the guy who's doing the event, he was like, man, trust me. Everyone will want it, and I was like, I don't know, we'll see. You know, so we were like, we had him come, and sure enough, like the paper with the sign up sheet was like, it was slammed. There was like 50 people on it,
oh,
and right
gosh.
Away you could tell, like, oh, there's no way all these people are going to get.
No.
Is he still there now?
No, I'm not kidding. When I left, like, people were coming over to me, like, you got to relieve him. You got to tell him to go,
right?
And because he's exhausted, and I went over there, and he's like, man, Marshall, you can go. And he was like, no, I gotta keep going. So
Marshall's a professional. That's why.
Yeah.
No, that's an unbelievable story, Nathan. That's unbelievable.
it was great.
And by the way, I have a long-standing policy, and I think this is good advice for the Kevin and Bean listeners, regardless of what Nathan just told you. Never accept a tattoo for free. Ever.
I mean, I think that's pretty good advice, except for maybe in this case.
I was told, from a young age, like, when it comes to tattoos, you get what you pay for.
Yeah.
it is good advice, but in this case, that's part of the other thing, though. It's not like, can I get a sailor with a heart on the, you know, like, it's just a, we're talking, you know,
it's like
a logo
with four lines.
He's not going to ruin your life with four lines.
There was an art installation. You guys may have seen this. We talked about it on the show last year, where they had people put their hand through their arm through a hole in a wall. Not what you're thinking about. and they knew that there was a respected tattoo artist on the other side, but you had no idea what you accepted whatever he was going to put on your skin.
Wow. That's nuts. I'm sorry. You put your hand through a hole and you accept whatever he's going to put on your
not
skin.
Not like that, Kevin.
Not like that at all.
That's what we
said. I'm clarifying, but it's a tattoo. We're talking about tattoos here.
All
but
right.
People lined up because of the thrill of it, and they knew that this guy was good, and they just let him put whatever they wanted. They had no idea whether they were going to walk out and it was going to be a parrot or if it was going to be Donald Trump. They just didn't know what was going to end up on their skin.
What if it was a dolphin and your whole family was attacked by dolphins?
See?
Now you've got that memory.
Yeah.
Dolphins don't attack people, by the way. That's great news.
Is just about as neutral.
That was fake news, everybody.
It was a great example, though.
Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Thank you.
Sure. So these fans that showed up were obviously Cold War Kids fans. That's what drew them. That's why they were there. But they, for the most part,
super fans. They
They hadn't heard this new record yet, or at least most of it, that they were getting the logo on their skin for, right?
Yeah, that's true.
That's a leap of faith.
That's true.
Because they could think it's your worst album ever, and now they're stuck with it on their arm.
True.
That's true. The one thing I will say, though, is that it's it is kind of an L.A. logo. Kind of like, it's a little bit of a riff on like a Dodger logo. It has LA, kind of has this cross. It's LA divine, but it's also like, it's sort of universal enough to where if this was our worst album and it was, and it,
you then know. You could just get like one or two of the lines removed and you got LA. It's
sure.
good.
Yeah. I mean, There's a way out.
Now, let's talk about the album. Bean has listened to the whole thing and says that it will be his favorite album of the year.
Wow. I'm telling you guys, I don't want to sound like I'm sucking up because you're here. I told the guys when I came in first thing this morning, it is effing great, you guys.
That's he wouldn't shut up.
Thank you.
I'm serious.
We're so excited.
I'm so excited about it, too. I mean, it really is. You know, we always love when we have new music. But 14 new songs from Cold War Kids out, available everywhere today, called L.A. Divine. I don't even know where to start with these new songs because you've been kind of dealing them the last few weeks or so. Tell me about that strategy, by the way, of releasing, what, 3 or 4 songs and videos before the album even comes out? That's kind of unusual.
Yeah, we did 4 songs that came out before, which I guess, you know, on different, you know, the Apples and Spotify's and all the services, I think it's pretty common to put stuff out. But I think people kind of take the approach of, like, not wanting to give their best, you know, songs. And I think in some ways we treated it like,
So were those 4 your worst?
No. I think, and when I say that, it's like, you know, hey, best, worst. We're talking about art here, you know.
I shouldn't be
qualifying. No, it's me. I think that idea of, like, kind of the songs that were, you know, the most immediate and the most, like, the ones that pop out at you, kind of, you know, you run the risk of giving people too much,
right?
And that's always the conversation, I think, in this day and age of, like, you know, if you can write the greatest song ever and have the greatest story behind it and the greatest video and the whatever, 100 people that are ready to work it, but sometimes stuff just comes out and it doesn't, like, connect, you know. And I think, like, and then it's like, well, do you put another thing out a week later, you know?
Right.
It's like, it's just that kind of,
it's a,
like,
weird marketing,
yeah, it's that thing, kind of, right, climate where I think, you know, to put a record out and to put 4 songs from the record out before it comes out to have people hear them, you definitely kind of run the risk of people being like, whoa, wait a minute, I'm just still listening to that first one that you put out 4 weeks ago. This is all too much. But if it works, like I think that this has worked, then you give people a lot of good stuff and you get them familiar with the culture of a record and get excited and it kind of all just snowballs. And
there's no actual answer. It's just everybody has to sort of make it up as they go along.
Totally. Now, it's whatever. And in a way, that's cool because it's, you know, kind of Wild West and kind of like, hey, let's just go for it. You know, let's put all these songs out and hopefully that gets excited and gives a taste of. It's also, for me, I think of it like, you know, there's a handful of kind of styles of Cold War Kids songs, and, you know, there's kind of like bluesy stomper piano Cold War Kids songs. There's more kind of like epic, you know, almost balladish Cold War Kids songs. There's a handful of things we do, and so in a way to kind of spread that out over, like, these 4 songs kind of represent a lot of sides of what we do. So
this is your lemonade.
Am I right? I mean,
that's a pretty good analogy.
I didn't want to say it.
Am I right? Or am I right? Have you guys ever written a song and then it's a good song, but you go, you know what? Not really Cold War Kids.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
And leave it off the project?
Yeah. I think, almost in a way, like, I feel like this record was about kind of taking the original, like, you know, I almost think of it in a way like the last kind of time of totally approaching it this way of, like, the fundamental tools of Cold War Kids that have been there since the beginning, and the kind of piano sounds and the bass sounds and the drum, like, everything about kind of what was stylistically there from the beginning, and just writing the best songs we could with those elements. So in a way, like, that idea, kind of a joke, but in a way, like, I think it's like, I think if you're a band long enough where you should kind of make yourself uncomfortable and try to write, like, something that is, like, genre-wise, a little, like, out of your element. And
I remember,
so Lemonade might be next time.
Lemonade, yeah.
I remember we'll talking that to kind of embarrassing. Or Most will write a version of Daddy Lessons.
Oh, man.
Most, I like it.
For the record, Most hates Daddy Lessons.
And why do you hate Daddy Lessons?
I even have a Lemonade official t-shirt that I wear sometimes.
We love Beyonce, but I think Daddy Lessons is so embarrassing.
She went too far with that one.
It's just so not approved.
Yeah. We have what we call dumb chills when we hear that song.
Don't go after the country crowd, is your advice to Beyonce.
Dumb chills.
What you're saying. Let me ask you this real quick, because I know we're going to take a break. Cold War Kids are here. They're going to be performing live in the HD Radio Sound Space here in just a couple minutes. And by the way, are we Facebook Living right now, Kevin?
We are. People are seeing us on the Facebook.
Yes.
That's awesome.
Yes.
I remember when you were in a year and a half ago or whatever it was when First was blowing up and ended up becoming a number one song, and you guys told us that you had no idea when that song was done that it was anything special. You liked it, good song, you wrote it and played it, but you were as shocked as anybody that it ended up being a big thing. Did that change your ability to size up your songs now? Do you kind of second guess yourself, like at this point now, do you have any idea what works and what doesn't work in terms of the public when you record something?
Really good question. And I think that song probably, it's funny because when you say that, I remember when we were here, you said, I think, you know, not only is this song doing all this stuff, but I think it's really going to keep going for a long time. Mm-hmm. And that was a year and a half ago. And I remember thinking like, yeah, you know, we'll see. And I think that it's
you should
cool.
always agree with the guy who's giving you the compliment.
You're right. Especially when he is a successful radio man. But I think in a really kind of good way for us to have, you know, having been doing what we've been doing for so many years and having songs do something at radio and I'm kind of glad for the experience of just not totally following it and knowing the culture of it previous records. We didn't wake up and go like, man, where's this on the alternative charts or whatever. We just, in a way, you know, it kind of sounds dumb, but we were kind of oblivious to it. But, you know, so to have had that for so many years and then First doing what it's doing, having done what it's done, and then now with this record, I definitely think it changed, you know, Colder Kids forever. It changed how we think about what we're doing and singles for this record and what they can do for the band and essentially that thing of taking the kind of seed of what you've always done and being true to it, and then at the same time, like, you know, yeah, let's move in this space. Let's be successful in this space as well.
Because, well, I think people are going to be blown away by this record. I really do. I mean, you're going to get mark this. You're going to get so many new fans, and it's going to drive you crazy how much Kiss FM starts playing you once they hear a couple of the tracks on this. I mean, it's weird, but that's what's going to happen here.
Man.
The album is out today. It's called L.A. Divine. Get it wherever you get your music. Cold War Kids is here. We love these guys. It's always exciting when they come by, and we're going to march you down the hall to the HD Radio Sound Space. We're going to play a little live. Is that all right?
Woo!
On one hour sleep? Is that what we're doing here?
All right. Yeah, I'm going to warn you. These folks are rusty. I got some rusty pipes here.
All right. Well,
so
we
walk.
You'll fit right in. Yeah,
okay. See you down the hall. Thanks.
Thank you, guys.
This is a way to get into a weekend with the band Cold War Kids here in studio on the Kevin and Bean Show. They actually walked down the hall to the HD Radio Sound Space. Kevin, you are with them. Did you bring your cowbell in case they need any help on these performances?
Oh, I forgot my cowbell.
Oh, dude. Don't leave them hanging. We're going to hear, if I understand, the first song from the brand new album available everywhere today. It's called Love is Mystical. Do I have that right, boys?
That's right.
Love this song. Let's hear it live. Cold War Kids on K-Rock.
Thank you. Space between my lungs, even when my knees won't shake, I'll drink to find inspiration, 'cause I'm the red-blooded man, but I can't see behind the sun, the supernatural plan. Live a life with no need for the breaks. Something happens when I lean on my mistakes. Love is mystical. Love will break the chain. You might feel invincible, and you might be afraid. Out in darkness, we'll show you the way. Give you the power to believe again. Rational man, and I can see how far I've come.
I can see how far I've come.
But I don't know where to stand. Who's coming to meet me now? Living life with no need for the breaks. Something happens when I lean on my mistakes.
words are true and the words reveal the same. I come alive when I don't even care. Love is mystical. Love will break the chains. Might feel invincible and you might be afraid. Light and darkness will show you the way. Give you the power to believe again. For heaven's sake, it's either hell or high water. Let's get out of this place. I feel your skeptical eyes on my mental state. I lift my hands to the sky and I lower the stakes. Oh yeah, and I lower the stakes. Oh yeah, and I lower the stakes. Love is mystical.
Come on. 1 hour sleep. That sounded fantastic. You guys are going to really have to now only sleep 1 hour before you perform from now on.
That is a stripped down version of Love is Mystical from the brand new album from Cold War Kids called L.A. Divine. Hey, before we play another one, I have to ask because we didn't get a chance to mention it earlier. How did the Bishop Briggs duet happen?
We were let's see. We were probably midway through working on this record, and I was driving around in my car in Los Angeles listening to KROQ. And I heard Bishop Briggs' song River played, and I was like, I was totally floored. I literally pulled my car over to the side of the road. I was on Riverside Drive, and I remember, I can picture it. I pulled over, and I was just listening. I was like, man, this voice is just something so special that I just wanted to listen to it and see who it was, and found out and immediately DM'd her on Twitter and said, let's do something sometime. And she said, yes, I would love to. And it was so easy and great. And we just did Kimmel this last week. She got to sing that song So Tied Up. And yeah. So that's thank awesome. You. Thank you, K-Rock.
Also, a safety PSA right there. You pull over before you DM
right.
somebody
before
on Twitter.
Before you, you know, freak right? out. Don't you're, freak out. When
you're a safe driver. Yeah. And we yeah. appreciate that.
Yeah.
That is a that's a cool story. And I love the alternate version of the video you put up, too, with all the strings and stuff on it. That's beautiful. You have to make that available, too.
We will soon. We're in talks.
Bean
in talks.
Says you have to.
yeah. So. Yeah. The man, tell, yeah. We'll email our manager and says Bean says.
okay.
Yeah.
All right. Good deal. Hey, we got time for one more. Can you do that for us?
We can. We're going to do first.
Love it. Cold War Kids on K-Rock.
Cheated and lied, broken so bad. You made a vow, never get mad. You played the game, but it's unfair. They're all the same, who could compare? First you lose trust, then you get worried. Night after night, bar after club, dropping like flies. Who woke you up on the front lawn? Sprinklers turned on. It's not your house, where'd you go wrong?
Where'd you go wrong?
First you get hurt, then you feel sorry. Flying like a cannonball, falling to the earth. Heavy as a feather when you hit the dirt. How am I the lucky one I did not deserve? Wait around forever when you were there first. First you get hurt, then you feel sorry. There comes a time
in a short life. You turn it around, get a rewrite. Call it a dark night of the soul. You're ticking on clocks. Gravity's pulled. First you get close, then you get worried. Flying like a cannonball onto the earth. Heavy as a feather when you hit the dirt. How am I the lucky one I did not deserve? Wait around forever when you were there first. First you get hurt, then you feel sorry. You're going silent, the silent treatment. It's not inviting now, and don't deny what you meant. You get excited, you get excited. You got a feeling, or at least you can pretend you want to lie. From both ends, you get excited, you get excited. Flying like a cannonball, falling to the earth. Heavy as a feather when you hit the dirt. How am I the lucky one I did not deserve? Wait around forever when you were there first. Flying like a cannonball, falling to the earth. Heavy as a feather when you hit the dirt. How am I the lucky one? First you get close, then you get worried.
One light at night, can you throw both ends?
You won't light it, then you get worried.
One light at night, can you throw both ends?
You won't light it,
you won't light it. One light at night, can you throw both ends?
You won't
light it, you won't light it. One light at night, can you throw both ends?
Come on, Cold War kids.
From epic. The age,
what's
amazing.
Right?
Off the effing chain,
right?
Guys.
Right?
I agree with that lady.
Thank you. 1 hour sleep, that's the secret.
Is it a little bit more pressure when you guys are playing sort of scaled down like this? First you, Nathan, and then Schwartz.
Is it more? I don't know.
We thrive.
I think on 1 hour sleep, you just deal with whatever you got.
Well, that was fantastic.
That was a lot of fun.
You dealt well.
I started in a very high range and immediately realized I couldn't sustain it.
We all noticed.
So you just got to react, you know?
We all noticed.
And then Schwartz went higher. That's how it works.
That's how it works.
Now that the record release day is finally here, you've unleashed L.A. Divine to the world. What's the plan for 2017? Just playing a lot of shows, I hope?
Playing a lot of shows, yes, for sure. A lot of shows, a lot of tour, you know, festivals, all the things that we do. What else do we do, Most?
Most is at loss.
He
doesn't know.
He said, yeah.
Just more tacos, more tattoos, man. That's it.
Oh, man, yeah.
Well, congratulations on the record. So great to catch up with you again. I hope we'll see you again real, real soon. Cold War Kids, ladies and gentlemen, here on
the Kevin
Beach Show. Thanks, boys.
Yes, well done. Woo! It is 7:53.
Hey, TV's Eric Stone Street is going to be joining us right after 8 a.m. And then, how about this? Still to come on today's Kevin and Bean Show, two more chances for you to win tickets for Coachella weekend number one and exclusive access to the K-Rock Party House. We got a chance for you in the 8 o'clock hour and a chance in the 9 o'clock hour as well.
You know what I'm excited about, Bean, about Eric Stone Street's new TV show, The Toy Box?
What's that?
One of the judges.
Yes.
Allie tipped me off to this. One of the judges
nope,
is.
Don't. No.
One of the judges is.
No.
I have to wait.
No.
Okay.
I'm rejecting
one of the
totally.
Judges is.
I don't watch the news because I'm a kid.
Oh, yeah.
That
Noah!
Kid.
Yeah, Noah's fine.
That kid.
The other one
so that
gives me the willies. That's Sophia Grace.
Oh. She's sassy.
No.
No?
No.
Is she that kid who's on Ellen all the time?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. She's weird.
Not just Ellen. It's her videos. And
yeah, she's children of the corn.
Oh, no.
I don't like it.
I don't like her.
All right. We'll talk to Eric about that. First, Ralph's got the showbiz beat here on a Friday. What's going on?
Well, breaking news.
Uh-oh.
I have a breaking news bulletin. I said
Not
I have
the,
a breaking I, news
I
bulletin.
Heard it.
You would think I would have that up by now.
I would say so.
Breaking news bulletin.
Packers may have a good season. That's all I'm saying.
Yep.
Oh,
and he's
for
the
right.
Packers.
The Packers
may have
good.
A good season.
As
your Packers
now,
may be back.
A breaking news bulletin.
That's your angle on this story.
Mm.
Hear that big?
And now a breaking news bulletin.
Hear that big? A big sigh of relief from Packers fans nationwide. It's like the albatross is off Aaron Rodgers' neck.
You are rotten
I'm
to
just
be saying
this. I'm just saying, it's science.
Is it
they've
science?
Been it into, they've been making it into the yeah, playoffs, Ralph.
Mm-hmm. Is that enough for you? Well, I guess it is for you, because look
I'm
at you.
I'm just saying, it's not like they've sucked.
You Saints fans, what do you know, man?
I'm a Seahawks fan,
no,
but
Saints
still.
No. Olivia Munn and Aaron Rodgers have split up.
It's science.
They have ended their relationship amicably, of course, because they're celebrities, and that's how celebrities end everything. But
how long was their contract together?
How dare you?
You didn't believe they were ever together for real?
No.
Why, Allie?
The 3-year relationship has come to a close, but they remain close friends, and they wish nothing but the best for each other moving forward.
Allie, it's not. I know you're conspiracy Allie, but it's not at all uncommon for adults to have a 3-year relationship and then break up and move on to someone else. There's no conspiracy.
Why
here.
Do you think there's a conspiracy?
I don't think there's a conspiracy.
Why do you think
I
they
think
weren't together
are,
for real?
There are deals made.
Why do you think this is a deal made?
I wish them both the best.
I wish someone would make a deal with Allie so she could just unclench for a minute.
There's no clenching.
She started dating him in 2014, which is kind of nice. She ruined his career and ended his relationship with his family. So I think she really got some work done before
she
left.
Not sure
she
did all that.
Oh, Kevin, open up your eyes. For God's sakes. This is Romo and Simpson all over again. Remember Romo and Simpson?
Sure. Yeah.
Sure.
Reunite. No, that was Asher and Simpson. Never mind. Romo and Simpson, when Jessica Simpson was dating Tony Romo, he had the worst lull of his career.
Oh, interesting, yeah. I'd forgotten about that.
Hey, a lot of people criticized Ciara when she hooked up with Russell Wilson at the beginning because his play took a dip as well.
Yes, and there was much rejoicing. But, so I'm thinking, Aaron Rodgers, look for the Packers to have a big season. Get to Vegas, lay down your money.
All right.
Speaking of football and Tony Romo, he is taking over at CBS for the first team in their broadcasts for the NFL. That means Phil Sims is out of a job. How did Phil Sims find out? Oh, he got a text from his son, Chris Sims, who heard about it from an NFL insider. You don't want to hear you're losing your job from your kid. That's twice as emasculating.
Here's the thing. This happens all the time. What network is it, CBS?
CBS.
Okay, they know
CBS cares, by the way.
They know they're going to make the move.
Mm-hmm.
Call or text him immediately. Why does no one do that? This is how people find out their series are canceled. All this stuff gets out on social media before the people actually find out. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's inappropriate. Anyway, Phil was vacationing in Barbados and got a text from his son Chris saying that Romo's being offered your job. Phil has 2 years left on his contract with the network, so he'll get paid out for the next couple years.
It's not very good. It's a decent decision.
Softens the blow. However, his son Chris is cheesed off. That's just not what you do to a good, hardworking employee that for 20 years has been the face of your franchise, he said. Yeah, he's a giant. FM. New York Giants, right? And here's the thing. It would surprise anyone if Adam Levine was just a pain in the ass.
No.
Me neither.
It would not.
Story on Radar Online, talking to sources over there on The Voice, saying that Adam Levine, on the word of one source, is a little bitch.
Wow.
That he spends the longest time in hair and makeup out of all four judges. Gwen Stefani's on that show, isn't she? She probably shows up looking like that, though,
yeah.
Knowing her.
Yeah.
Wakes up looking like that, by the way.
He is the most difficult person on the show. Claim sources.
Then why did this
Does that
guy
surprise anyone?
Then why did this guy say,
let's give some love to Maroon 5?
Because some people love bad people.
No.
And Kevin, you are one of them.
How dare you?
That was Kevin from the Grammys, by the way. I wish we had time to play Kevin.
Nope.
Kevin announced
we
the
do
Grammys.
Not. It's a shame, but let's move
got
on.
Got Eric Stone Street waiting. I don't want to keep him waiting. He's an important man. He's busy. Today's celebrity birthday is Russell Crowe's 53. The Nice Guys,
right? That's the movie we're talking about. Nice guys. Ryan Gosling. And Allie thinks Jodie Foster.
Not Jodie Foster in that movie, you guys.
Love that film. Check it out. You'll like it. Jackie Chan.
Jackie Chan.
63 years old today. And director Francis Ford Coppola is 78 years old today. Makes more money from his winery than he ever did making movies.
Wow.
Huh.
I drink his wine. It's very good. What?
You drink his wine? Do you really?
That's my favorite wine.
I love
the Coppola wines. Yeah. Do you remember when I interviewed him?
Sort of.
He had a movie coming out called Tiesto that he was promoting. It was the last thing he directed. It may have been the last thing he's made. And he was promoting it, but I remember the deal was if you wanted to talk to him, if you wanted to talk, do an interview with him, you had to travel to him.
Right.
So I grabbed a recorder and I went to a location which turned out to be his home.
Which Ralph
does. In the canyon.
Almost never does, but no. For this one.
Somebody said, would you like to talk to Francis Ford Coppola? It's like, who do I have to kill?
Yep.
So I show up at his house and I'm let in. It's just him, which I thought was very weird. And he said to me, would you like a cappuccino? And I said, okay, sure. Now I'm waiting for some assistant to come in and to get our order for drinks before we start the interview. He gets up and he goes into the kitchen, and I hear. He starts foaming the milk, and he comes back in and gives me a cappuccino. He made it himself in his own kitchen at his house.
Did you say it took long enough?
I was like, yo, bitch, where's the sugar? No, I was just like, why? He isn't the greatest, and I'm nothing. Why is he doing this for me?
I think a lot of people don't take the fact that they're the greatest into account, and that's very refreshing.
Well, it was, and he was a wonderful, wonderful interview, and he was a very nice man.
My only fear every year on Francis Ford Coppola's birthday is that Allie won't shut up about how much she loves the Godfather franchise. That's she's going to be talking about today is how many times she's seen that trilogy.
Favorite.
You've still never seen the Godfather.
Yeah, and he's like, ooh,
she hasn't seen any of
head in the bed, and it was a horse. Right?
Yeah, it's like the scene.
Yeah. It's brought to life right in front of you guys.
That was sweet.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. I'll see it.
You watch the goddamn movies, Allie.
I will. I'm so busy.
You'll see it. Yeah. When Paul Feig remakes it with Amy Schumer, that's when you'll see it. Mm. The all-girl Godfather remake.
Maybe Amy Poehler.
The Godmother.
Tina Fey.
It's happening.
One of them.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
That's that guy from that show.
It is indeed.
That guy from that TV show is in the studio.
You don't have to whisper. We can all talk like people into a microphone.
Eric,
hey, Eric Stonestreet.
Stone Street.
Hello.
Eric Stone Street.
Yeah. Hi.
What's going on, man?
Is it possible that Kevin really might not have remembered his name? Is that a possibility? That maybe
a piece of paper in front of you. God.
No, there's not a possibility that I wouldn't have known Eric's name.
Kevin has stated going, I recognize that dude. I just can't place him.
There's always a chance, of course. Yeah.
Remember the Gary Cole incident?
Yes, I do.
Don't make me revisit
Let's
that.
Let's not revisit
All
that.
Right. Great Larry Cole.
Eric, welcome, sir.
Thanks, man. Thanks for having me in.
You're here for your new show, The Toy Box?
I'm here to see my friends at K-Rock. Yes.
Secondarily, we're here to talk about the show, which looks awesome, by the way.
Yeah, thank you. I think it's going to be good. I think people are going to like it. I think... the kids are definitely the stars of the show, and the people that with their weird, you know, toy inventions and good toy inventions, because there's both are the stars. I just have to stay out of everybody's way, but I think people are going to like it.
Explain how it works exactly.
So it's an inventor show for toys, only toys, and they come into a mentor room with three adults that are there really basically to decide that the toy's safe and that Mattel can actually make the toy.
Okay,
and then if they get past those guys, they come into the toy box where there's four kid judges and me, and they ultimately decide which toy wins each episode, and then which toy will win ultimately the deal with Mattel to have their toy made. Now the cool hook is, in 8 weeks when the show's over. An hour after the show, you're going to be able to go to ToysRUs.com and buy the toy. It's done. They've been making the toy for the last year.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, and then it'll be available at Toys R Us the next day.
That's a cool reveal.
That's a cool. So you get invested in some of these people, and you have a toy to root for. Your kids will have a toy to root for. And then, you know, it's fun to watch kids squash adults' dreams.
You really don't see that anywhere else where adults have to sort of
grovel and sell themselves to children.
Oh, and one guy does in the most embarrassing way down the I had no patience for this one guy.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I had to keep reminding myself, like, you're an actor and they can see your emotions on your face because you're thanking them. And I mean, you definitely see that I was not having one of the gentlemen.
It was like a payoff deal? Was he slipping Tootsie Rolls to the kids or something?
It's funny you say that because, yes, he was in a weird way. I'm not going to tell you what his toy is, but you will know now because of that guess. He was exactly doing that.
Is that right? Wow.
Eric, how are you as a host? What's your skill set like to host a TV show?
You do a good job, Eric.
Should you be brought back next season?
No.
Oh, well, okay. We like
you. I'm the awful. Kids get to vote on you as well.
Yeah, that would be great. An added bonus of... I just did... I was on Ellen with Noah the other day, and the producer told me, and this just made my heart sing, that Noah considers me one of his best friends.
Oh, and Noah!
I love Noah so much. It hurts me how much
Noah,
I love him.
For those of you that don't... that listen to the Kevin and Bean Show, you will recognize him from this.
I don't watch the news because I'm a kid.
That's Noah.
Apparently.
He's Kevin's hero.
He's my hero.
Yes.
He's phenomenal.
I asked the question because those skills are not interchangeable, acting and hosting. They're very different things, and not everybody can do both.
Well, yeah. I mean, I definitely agree with you, and I didn't want to host anything, and the notion of why I wanted to do this was because of the tie-in of getting to talk to adults that have weird passions. Like, we meet a guy who's been inventing this worm costume that's a worm racing game, and as I meet him, and I'm finding all this information out for the first time myself, and he goes, yeah, I've been working on this for the last year. I've been secretly working on this for the last year,
secretly.
And I'm like, I'm sorry, secretly? So you've been in your basement worming and not telling anyone? He's like, yeah. And you immediately root for this guy. He's like, he's a driver for a company. And you know, he's been working on this worm costume for a year. So that was exciting to me to have those awkward sort of Daily Show-esque moments with real people. And then sort of be the conduit between the kids and them and keep the kids on track. And I love the toy aspect. I mean... life's complex. I get to go work and be around kids and toys for 8 weeks. That sounds awesome.
Was it difficult keeping four kids on track?
Yes.
I imagine that would be
there is that old school warning, like, don't work with animals and kids, right? And
yeah.
You had to take that into account entering into this.
Yeah, I have a bit of experience with working with kids from
sure.
Modern Family, so I know that there are certain things that are completely out of your control, and it's you just have to walk away. I have a very simple technique where I do this. And you can determine how frustrated I am by the length and the tone of it.
Of the hard exhale.
So,
that's a simmer? Is that a simmer?
No, that's about as bad as it gets.
Oh, no.
That's the worst.
That's the worst.
So the little quick burst, that's not too bad.
Yeah.
That's you
it's
just
like
starting
like
to get mad.
Ramping
yeah.
up.
And, yeah. And on Modern Family, they know it. So I had to, like, tell everybody. It's like, so listen, I'm kind of like a caged animal. I'll give you warning signs.
Oh
and when you, I do, it's
and,
on you.
Yeah. Don't get your hands near my mouth at any time.
Yeah, exactly. I'm getting over a cold. But I'm like, but you don't want to get me to this one.
No. That's for effing Manny, though, right?
Wow. I'm sorry, Bean.
What?
I said that's for effing Manny, though, right? When you get that frustrated.
Oh,
I got to pick on Mr.
Right?
Rodriguez.
He's the sweetest.
Right? Bean, you know,
I
you always have
I'd
timing.
Love.
His father just passed away, so way to go.
Oh well,
I just Bean.
Sorry about
yeah,
that.
Bean.
Wow,
this got dark.
Yeah.
Hey, here's a serious question. I don't want to rain on anybody's parade here. Serious question, though. Isn't it difficult to invent a toy in 2017? That doesn't already infringe on a toy that exists copyright?
Great question. And Rico's
really?
Dad really
Great
did
question.
Just... Great question. It is a good question. And I'm sorry I just did that to you, Bean. I apologize.
Yeah.
But it is true and whatever.
And you're a dick. All right.
I'm a dick. Thank you.
No, not you.
No, not
you,
Bean. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. But I am too.
We only tell people that they're dicks after they leave the studio.
And then I listen to it on the way home.
Yeah.
Like, you son of a bitch.
That guy was a dick.
It is, and there is a little bit of that where you'll see a toy on there that you will vaguely kind of remember as a kid, and it's like a new take on something.
I hope you didn't run into any of those issues, though, with this show. Or was it all vetted ahead of time?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Basically, but there are things that you're like, we've kind of seen versions of that. I was bummed that a couple of the toys, like, didn't make it through that I thought should the kids should have responded better to.
But you're not a kid.
I'm not a kid.
And it's probably a generational thing too, right?
It
stuff
is.
That people at a certain age might respond to is something kids today have no interest
exactly.
in.
Exactly. Right? And the kids, like, they would start worrying about whether it was safe or not and if you would lose parts. And I'm like, yeah, if you lose parts, then you learn responsibility and stop losing your toy. Like, that's part... the sound guy on Toy Box is like, God, dang it.
Did you warn the kids about the breathing? Did you tell them?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you did. Okay.
Oh, my
yeah.
God, no.
No, but yeah, I mean, but that's kind of the beauty of the show is it is a throwback show in that there's no video sort of types of toys on this. These are hopefully old school toys. And some of them you know, we had to ask the kids, it's like, do you even think this is a toy? Would you buy this toy with your allowance money? So it really is up to them. They took it very seriously to the point where they would get upset when one of the toys didn't make it through that they really liked.
Is that right?
Because it wasn't always a unanimous decision of what toy won each episode.
Well, if there's a second season, I am coming on and I'm promoting my Boobix Cube because I think that's going to be big.
Oh, for the love of God.
Wow. Wait, is it just what it sounds like?
Yes.
I love it.
You'll find out season two. Toy Box is the show. It airs tonight on the ABC at 8 p.m., hosted by our friend Eric Stone Street. He's in the studio. We'll take a quick break. More with Eric right after this on K-Rock.
Eric Stone Street is here.
I'm still here.
Still here.
They're like, oh, cool. Guess I'll stop and do those
great
errands after all.
No, we love having you here. And by the way, and I've said this before, and I've never said it to you, but I say it on the air all the time, just a real quick moment, that Modern Family is still one of the best, funniest, sharpest written, sharpest performed comedies on television. Maybe one of the top 10, maybe ever. And I think it's been so good for so long that a lot of people just kind of take it for granted. And I just wanted to let you guys know how good that show is and how much we appreciate the work you guys
do. Well, that means a lot coming from you because I think you're very funny and very talented. And I don't disagree. I mean, I love it when I read these people that say, boy, Modern Family must have lost all their writers. It's really gone downhill and this and
this. People say that?
Oh, yeah, yeah. People love
really?
Oh, yeah, for sure. But the truth of the matter is their memory of that first season of Modern Family is setting an expectation that isn't reachable. Because on every show, and our one of our creators, Chris Lloyd, told me this, you're shooting for the best case scenario is a third of the episodes are fantastic and you love them. A third of the episodes are good. You're happy.
Right.
And a third of the episodes are something that you would do again and change something if you could. That's the best case scenario. So I think we have maintained that for sure.
I feel like you've done better than that.
Your percentage
you've done
is much
better.
Higher than
your
that.
Your bottom third is never that low.
My theory is it was unlike anything we had seen on television and comedy. And so it rocked people's worlds. And everybody was like, have you seen this show? It's really sort of amazing. And then we all just got used to it. It was so consistently good that we just took that for granted.
Yeah. I know how hard everybody works, so I'm very, you know, I'm obviously fiercely defensive of our writers and our cast and how hard we all work and take how serious we take our jobs. But yeah, when I read that stuff from reviews saying that, oh, this old tired thing or that old tired thing, it's like, well, it's easier to criticize something than actually do something.
Isn't that the truth?
Yep.
All right. Enough of that.
Wow.
Thank you, though.
No, my pleasure. And, of course, Minimus as on Sophia the First.
Aww.
That's my kid. That's when my kid knows you. he's Sophia's flying horse on Sophia the First.
Oh, I'm scared, Sophia. I don't want to ride over there. Here we go. That's for you.
My daughter Olivia always says, do you know, you really know him? I said, yeah, I know Minimus. I know him.
Isn't it funny that that's her reference point? That's the height of what
that's as good
Eric
as it gets in
do
her world. If you are one of the voices on Sophia the First or Elena Vavilor, you have arrived, sir. Mm. So congratulations.
Thank you.
What do people say to you when they meet you on the streets? Because you have a very complex show, especially with Modern Family. What are they? What's their reaction to you for the most part?
You know, usually, hey Cam, or where's Lily? So wait, are you sick or something? Usually, that's what people say to me a lot.
Is that
right? Like, are you not feeling okay? I'm like, well, yeah, why? It's like, I don't know. It's like, and then it took me a while to figure out. It's like, oh well, I'm just not that vivacious,
right?
As vivacious,
you're not flamboyant.
Yes, and so people would always think there was something wrong with me.
Cam's really depressed.
Yeah, he's really dark.
Did you ever start in the beginning by saying, hey, not Cam?
Well, I would.
Eric?
Yeah, I would, but, you know, that's a conversation when you get into that. It's not a winning conversation. So I just politely say, you know, yeah, I think you're probably just, you know, mixing me up with the guy I play on TV.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Or, that's tragic in this day and age. You have to go through that process.
Well, I wouldn't change it. I wouldn't change it for the world.
No, I understand. But you would think people. I mean, we live in a world now where we're all pretty educated about how show business works.
Right.
You wouldn't think people would confuse people with their characters.
Well,
anymore.
here's what, as an actor, drives me crazy is when they see me in like Identity Thief or other movies that I've done, and people will tweet me and say, "Bro, can't take you serious acting straight."
Oh, that's
and
funny.
I'm like. All right. And like when I was on American Horror Story, people would be like, I can't take this episode of American Horror Story seriously because Cam's in it. It's like, okay, you know what?
Yeah, that's
that,
a problem.
That sucks.
That does suck, but it also speaks to how great an actor you are in Modern Family.
Well,
I mean, it does. That's like, they think you're Cam.
That's the positive spin.
Right. Okay.
For
right.
sure.
I choose that as a career for the rest of your life. You'd like to be able to
but,
play other roles.
Right. Which yeah. I did before Modern Family. It's like, I always said, look, if you look back at my career and saw me doing 13 years of a version of Cam, then I'd be like, well, I'm screwed when the show's over. But
right.
I never played this character before. I never knew this character was even inside of me before I auditioned for the show.
What was the audition for Cam like?
Well, you know, it was me reading the script. They passed on me. They don't remember it as them passing on me.
Oh,
but
is that right? You remember them passing? No,
they did.
Oh, they did. Okay.
Yeah, they
all
for
right.
sure did.
Okay.
Twice. And then they kept thinking about me and called me back. So I have never changed a thing that I do with the character at all. The tone, the whatever you want to call it. I'm kind of impersonating my mom. And it was all because of one line that I read in that original pilot episode, which was, "Oh my God, do you love it?" That was a sentence I said. And I was like, that sounds so familiar. And I realized it's like a sentence my mom would say, "Oh my God, do you love it?" And that was my sort of portal in, and I just kind of went in that direction. I've never changed it one bit. Really.
I met Eric's mom once at a Kings game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She was there with him, and I was just fascinated by her because she's Eric's mom, for God's sake.
Yeah. And if you don't follow Eric on Instagram and Twitter, and you miss the videos of his mother, you're doing it wrong. It is the highlight of my day when I see a video with your mom.
She's really funny. She was just here for a few days, and I love it when she comes out, and she has a good time. And
we don't have a lot of time, but for people who missed Kimmel.
No, let's bring my mom in. Come on, Mom.
Say, come on.
For people who missed Kimmel, would you mind telling the story about you in high school when you had to pick her up?
Oh, yeah. So she I had to go pick my mom up one night at a wedding, and she corrected me on the story afterwards, by the way. She goes, "I spit the ice at you inside the reception, not in the car." I'm like, oh, okay. But anyway, I went to pick her up because—
How old were you?
I was probably a sophomore.
Sophomore.
Junior. And she was at a wedding, and I went and picked her up, and I was like, "Mom, this is embarrassing. I'm coming to pick you up." She's like, "Oh, shut up." And then she spit ice at me. And so I've never let her forget her, like, just chucking a piece of ice. Right.
Was
at
she
me.
A little lit up? Is that why she needed a
she was lit up.
She was way lit
and she's
up.
Not like, she's like, "Well, you made me sound like an alcoholic or something." And I'm like, "Well, you're not that, but you do." My sister, after she watched Kimmel, she goes, "Ask Mom if she wants a mudslide, wink, wink." And I'm like, "Mario said, what do you want, a mudslide?" And she goes, "Oh, shut up." Apparently there's a mudslide story from Mexico when they went together. That I hadn't heard yet.
I hope, because I have a whole different understanding of a mudslide.
I
didn't know. His mom's a crazy woman.
She's great.
Hey, guys, can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Is it true that Eric wants to assist Beer Mug in screening for the Coachella ticket giveaway next?
I think. Is that true?
You're going to answer some phones?
I said I wanted to come in and be on the show, and I wanted to see, quote, how the sausage was made, because I'm a fan of the show. And I only get snippets of you guys, and when I come in, I only get to stay for like 10 minutes. I'm like, I don't want to come in and just like do, like...
All right, well, you can answer the phone and help screen, and then come back in for the contest.
Great, perfect.
So that we can then send him out for food.
Yeah.
If you want to be part of the show, you're going to be part of the show.
That's part of the show. I mean, we're looking for Listeneroki for Coachella.
Yeah.
Coachella, weekend one, and the K-Rock Party House. Listeneroki, you have to pick the band that is playing Coachella. You have to sing whatever song you want to sing. And the most entertaining will win the tickets. And if we don't have a most entertaining, we'll do a drawing.
So in other words, Eric, what's going to happen is they're going to call and they're going to go, "Hey, I love Lady Gaga. I want to sing Bad Romance." And you check them out and make sure that they can do it. And then you put them on hold, and then we have them on the air. Or they can do a Bon Iver song or Kendrick Lamar.
So they're auditioning for... for the show via me.
That's exactly. Yes.
I'll decide
yes,
if they're correct. Worthy of you guys.
Right. Yes.
Okay, great. Yeah, yeah.
And maybe they can pitch you a toy, too, while they're at it. And why not swing for the fences? Well, take advantage.
The Toy Box, again, is on tonight at 8 on ABC. Eric Stone Street, you're the best. Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Talk to you in a second with Listener Road.
How's our new phone screener doing? Are we going to have to fire him?
Well, he had somebody on the line and on the speakerphone, and he turned to me and he said, "How do I say no?"
Well, you know what a break
hard as much as I thought I would.
It's not as fun, right?
No.
No, that's a beer
mug. I'm sorry
does.
If I said no to you.
But like you said on your Toy Box show, sometimes you just have to crush dreams, Eric. That's what you're all about.
And it doesn't mean that you won't be on this program at another point.
Right.
Exactly. All right. So 1-800-520-1067. Who are you going to sing that's playing Coachella next weekend to win your way in and access to the exclusive K-Rock Party House as well? It's called Listeneroki. Hit it, Steve.
Listeneroki, Listeneroki. That's the game we're going to play. Listeneroki, Listeneroki. Come and sing and don't be lame.
Eric, you can't talk during the jingle. Oh, we're playing the jingle.
Yeah, but it was delightful.
It was a compliment about it. I said, I always love the drops you guys do.
All right, we're trying to do some radio, man. Sorry.
Keep up.
Sorry. All right, Kevin, who's our first contestant?
Our first contestant is Brad in Studio City. Hi, Brad.
Hey, gang. What's going on?
Okay. Hey, Brad.
This is not my guy. I can tell you.
No, you didn't talk to Brad.
Nope, this was somebody else.
Okay. All right. Brad, what song are you going to sing?
Creep by Radiohead.
All right, Creep by Radiohead. Here
now,
we go.
If this goes well for you, you'll be seeing them 1 week from tonight, next Friday night at Coachella. Good luck, sir.
When you were here before, couldn't look you all.
Let him sing.
I mean, he only said a couple words.
You think he can save that?
Give him a chance.
Give him a chance, Bean.
Okay, let's see.
Start again, Brad.
When you were here before, couldn't look you in the eye. You're just like an angel.
Right?
I mean,
right?
All right, Bean was right.
Hold on. I mean, if we can't pick a clear winner, he's in the drawing.
Okay.
So.
Let's try Christina, shall we? Downey
Lane. Oh, Eric took this call.
This is my gal.
All right.
Come on, babe.
Hey, Christina. Hello, Christina. Ooh, cutting in and out. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay,
are you guys there? All right.
We are. So Eric took your call, right?
Yes, he did.
Okay, now what are you going to sing?
I'm going to sing Lady Gaga, Bad Romance.
All right, here we go.
All right. I want your loving, I want your revenge. You and me could write a bad romance. I want your loving, I want your revenge. You and me could write a bad romance.
All right, pretty strong. That's pretty strong. That's pretty strong. Yeah, that's pretty strong. All right.
Eric was shaking that ass. Well done.
All right, thank you, Christina.
He has a camera right there.
Yeah. Let's try La Puente's Art, line 5, up next on the Kevin and Bean Show. You're just joining us. We're playing Listeneroki for Coachella tickets. Hey, Art.
Hey, guys.
This is another one of Eric's people, I think. Yep.
Yeah.
All right, definitely. Art, you're going to do what?
I'm going to do Capital Cities, Safe and Sound.
All right. Here's Art.
All right. I could lift you up. I could show you what you want to see and take you where you want to be. You could be my luck. Even if the sky is falling down, I know that we'll be safe and sound.
Little accompaniment. Very nice. All right, hold on. Art, you are in the drawing for the Coachella tickets.
Art had an advantage there.
Yeah.
But they had a side band
with Eric on the horns. That's.
All right, there's a couple up here that are fascinating to me, including Glendale Aaron, line 6. I want to hear what he does with this one.
All right. Hey, Aaron.
Hey, how are you?
Good, thank you. You're going to do what song for Listeneroki?
I'm going to do DJ Khaled, All We Do Is Win.
All right.
All right.
Okay, ready?
Go ahead.
Okay. DJ Khaled, we the best major team. All we do is win, 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 no matter what. Got money on my mind, I can never get enough. Every time I step inside the building, hands go up.
Not gonna tell you. Not gonna lie, you guys.
I don't know if they stay there.
That was pretty good.
I loved it.
That was pretty good. Thank you.
All right, Kevin, you want to try Gabriella Chino, line 4? This could be the strangest Listeneroki call we'll have today.
All right, Gabriella, hi.
Hi.
Now we're doing well. Hans Zimmer is playing Coachella.
Yes,
he is the famed Grammy and Oscar-winning movie score composer. So it's a very unusual booking for Coachella. But how are you going to sing a movie song?
I'm going to sing the Pirates of the Caribbean theme.
Okay, Pirates of the Caribbean theme.
Are you guys ready?
From Hans
Is this
Zimmer.
One of yours? Is this one of yours, Eric? Or are we going off
No, it is
here?
Not.
Okay.
No, it is not.
All right, ready?
Yes, we are ready. I gotta be honest.
Congratulations.
I gotta be honest. She's my favorite.
Absolutely.
Bean, you good with that?
Ladies and gentlemen, we have a winner. Weekend one of Coachella and exclusive access to the K Rock Party House. Well done, Gabriella. We'll see you next weekend. Thanks for playing Listen to Roki.
Thank you. Thank you, Eric. We appreciate your time.
Thanks. This was fun, guys. Thank you for having me in.
Bye now.
Listen to Roki. Listen to Roki. Thanks for playing our game. Listen to Roki. Listen to Roki. You suck, then we're lame.
I think that part's over. Yeah, I think that's over.
I could do that.
Hey!
These guys make a lot of money. Standing there going, doo-doo, doo-doo.
It's LANOC's Alternative Rock. This is the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock at 8:52.
We got a video we want to highlight for you coming up right after the top of the hour, along with more Coachella tickets you could win on the Kevin and Bean Show. About it's a woman who may have overreacted to a little PDA in public.
It's possible.
You can be the judge,
do you? Yeah.
Whether she was too upset about watching a couple kiss in a restaurant. Okay? That's coming up in minutes. First, Ralph's here with the Showbiz Beat here on K-Rock. What's going on?
Before I get to show business news, tonight's the night at the Bicycle Hotel and Casino. Kevin Ryder.
Right?
Woo! Beer mug.
Yeah! Right?
Dave the King of Mexico.
Right?
All playing poker. And blackjack. Mm-hmm. It all starts tonight. Doors open at 8 p.m. At 9 p.m., the poker and blackjack start. It's going to be a big tourney, as the kids call it. And Kevin is going to be there just gambling, just playing poker. Just saying, I have two of the same card. He'll say at one point.
Hey, Kevin, can I give you some advice about tonight?
Sure.
Take unmarked bills with you.
See?
Just what in case, did?
If you'd like to play at Kevin's table for K-Rock's Guys Night Out at the Bicycle Hotel and Casino, plus $200 in chips, give us a call right now, 1-800-520-1067. You got to be 21 years of age or older to play, so let's make it caller number 21. Caller number 21 will be sitting at Kevin's table, and trust me, he bluffs a lot. So call him on everything.
Yes,
tonight.
Please do.
And you can, if you want to still play, you can go to thebike.com to RSVP your spot if you don't win. But tonight, Guys Night Out. Carrick's Guys Night Out. So girls, don't bother even calling.
Girls, welcome as well.
Guys Night Out.
Girls, welcome as well.
We can't go.
Guys Night Out.
Girls are also welcome.
Yeah, welcome to be go-go dancers, apparently.
There may be go-go dancers there, perhaps.
Well, the girls love it. That's how you bring all the ladies into the right? event, is by bringing more go-go girls.
Thank you for finally realizing that.
Vern Troyer. Sad news, Vern Troyer.
Uh-oh.
What happened?
He's entering a treatment center to combat alcohol addiction.
Oh.
He wrote on his Facebook page yesterday, "As you know, I've battled alcohol addiction in the past, and while it's not always been an easy fight, I'm willing to continue my fight day by day. I've been receiving treatment for the last week, and I'm voluntarily checking into a treatment center later this week to continue to get the help that I need." So we wish him all the best, because it is a tough fight. And I know he's had a bad battle with it, so I wish him the best. Every time I think about it, I think of the saddest thing I've ever seen was on a show that used to be on called The Surreal Life.
Yes.
Where they would They would take stars perhaps on the other side of the mountain of fame.
Way on the other side.
Put them in the same home.
Right.
And then film the hilarious results to watch these people struggle for their lives.
Right.
And there was Vern Troyer on one of these rascal scooters, loaded, and he pulls into a corner of a room and just starts urinating in the corner.
It was great TV.
I don't think that's what he's saying.
And I think somebody had
it was not good.
Somebody
TV.
Rolled up a newspaper and hit him across the nose to get him to stop or
I don't
something,
think that
if I remember
part
correctly.
Happened.
But
what was that?
The place is haunted.
What was that?
It was a ghost child. A ghost child was talking to us.
That was Vern Troyer.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right, a lot of opportunities to play by mini-me drum.
How could anyone identify it?
as Vern Troyer. How were we supposed to know?
Beam.
That it wasn't a small girl laughing for no reason.
Let me see.
There wasn't
see
even a word or a line or anything.
Let me see what else I have in the Vern Troyer file.
Okay,
I've heard rumors that you have pound for pound the largest penis in Hollywood. Is this true?
It happens.
All right. It's our friend Mike Catherwood interviewing Vern Troyer, apparently.
What else you got? Let's open up. Let's go some deep cuts in the Vern Troyer file.
With your given size, aren't the most like mundane daily activities essentially extreme sports?
Well, there we go.
Oh, that's
now
where
we
got
the context.
It from. All right.
Mm.
Yeah. Sad news. Don Rickles has passed away at the age of 90 from kidney failure. He was a legendary nightclub comedian. Made frequent late-night appearances on all the talk shows. He was a very talented actor, too. Did a bunch of movies and TV performances. He was Mr. Potato Head in the Toy Story movies. And just beloved by everyone who knew him. He was a de facto member of the Rat Pack with Frank Sinatra's gang. He wasn't you know, necessarily in there with Sammy Davis Jr. and Dean Martin and Peter Lawford and Sinatra. But he certainly hung in the same circles, and they would run into each other often. And early on in Don's career, when he started playing Vegas, that's how he met Sinatra. And Sinatra, on the Tonight Show, recounted the story of one of the early run-ins he had with Don Rickles, which shows you just how funny Don Rickles was.
This is a long time ago, long before Don got married. I was eating dinner in a restaurant in New York, and I was sitting with some friends, and he came over to the table, and he said, "Frank, do me a favor, will you?" He said, "I'm sitting with a very pretty girl, and I'm trying to make out, you know." And he said, "I told her I know you, and she really doesn't believe me. Would you stop by the table?" I said, "All right." I was just about finished. I was down to the espresso. And finally he went back, and I walked by the table, and I said, "How are you, Don? Nice to see you." He said, "Can't you see I'm eating, Frank? What are you doing?"
Come on.
Classic.
So good.
He clowned Sinatra.
Yeah.
Who can do that and not be killed?
Right? Only him?
He could. Yeah. He made Sinatra laugh all the time, but he would just bust his ball and Sinatra would laugh about it. Very few people could get away with that. Passed away at the age of 90.
And it was so funny, Ralph, seeing all the tape yesterday on him. I mean, he was roasting before there were roasts on TV. You know?
Yeah.
Like seeing him clowning on President Reagan at the inauguration. I mean, the types of things you just didn't do to people in that kind of power.
And when
he was
happened,
very comfortable with it.
When roasting started to happen on television, Dean Martin was a guy who started doing a show, a series of specials on NBC called the Dean Martin Celebrity Roast. And they would bring out, I mean, this top named people, Johnny Carson, Frank Sinatra, you name it. And then they would get a dais of comedians and they would air it, kind of like what Comedy Central does now.
Right.
And he was always on there, and he was just devastating. He just destroyed people, and it was always so funny. So sad news that he passed away. Today's celebrity birthdays, Francis Ford Coppola. Nothing? We got a wow earlier in the show.
Yeah, I think. I'm still delighted. He's still terrific.
78 years old.
He needs some downtime in between.
He needs a refractory period
yes. For
his Coppola love. Jackie Chan, 63. And Russell Crowe turns 53 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Kevin, 1 week and 1 hour from right now, you're going to be in your little car driving to the desert for Coachella.
That's correct.
Weekend number one Can't happens wait. Next weekend. We are giving away tickets all this week on K-Rock at 9 a.m., noon, 3 p.m., and 6 p.m., including right now. And congratulations to Priya Gazal from Anaheim Hills. He just won those tickets and exclusive access to the K-Rock Party House as well. Your chance coming up here on K-Rock.
All right, we have a piece of tape that we want to run by you. This woman is either crazy or it's all a complete setup.
What do you mean by setup?
Well, it's a new restaurant, a poke shop in Santa Monica.
Mm-hmm. All right.
And it just, I don't know, there's something about it that just feels like there's a couple kissing,
mm-hmm.
and she is on the other side of the restaurant getting ready to order, and she's so unbelievably offended
mm-hmm.
by them kissing that it makes me think, who would be that upset?
In other words, you think she might be acting just to put this new restaurant on the map because this is where this viral video took place.
That's a wild theory just based on I can't imagine anyone would get this upset about what's happening.
Well, we have a conspiracy expert on the show. Allie, does that pass the smell test, what Kevin is suggesting?
Possibly. I didn't think about that. I thought she's either off her meds because she seems very...
Very possible as well.
She's just so out there. That's my
my aim.
That's
right
your first
now.
Guess. Okay.
Because when I see this video, I don't think, I should check out that Poke Shop at all.
Well, agreed. Okay, I can follow
you
that.
Think I want to stay away from a place where I might get screamed
right.
at.
So there's a guy and a girl, and they are kissing. They're not on camera, so we can't really tell, but we're taking from what she said, and she starts screaming at them.
You have your food.
Excuse me, I have a right to be here. This is a place where you eat, not where you make out and food.
He just told you.
We are waiting for you to finish up, so we're chatting.
Go make out outside.
You're a heinous person.
You're a prostitute.
Cool.
I'm not getting paid.
How can you make out?
All right, so she's so upset that they're kissing.
She's a slut and a prostitute for her boyfriend kissing her.
Because they're kissing.
That's insane.
Now, by the way, just so you know, because there are different levels of kissing, we all know. According to the guy who was interviewed after this video went wild, he said, I had my arms around her from behind, and I maybe kissed her on the top of the head once or twice, but that was the extent of it. So he didn't have her, like, bent over the counter or something.
Which also would have been fine.
It does sound like you're a slut and you're a prostitute. Maybe an overreaction a little bit.
Okay.
Do you have any manners?
Can you just finish up your transaction? We'll order and we can both move on. Oh my God. You're really escalating
Why
this.
Don't you leave?
I would just like to order.
Well, you
and
shouldn't.
Then we'll leave.
You shouldn't be here. You're a slut. Go get a hotel room and somewhere else.
Oh my
This God. Is not a place. This.
All right, so now she's really upset, and she's upset enough that she comes over to the couple, and now she's starting to talk to them face to face.
You're making out while we're trying to order.
Step back.
Excuse me?
Step the Why? Now, here's my favorite thing, because excuse me somehow to this woman seems like ends the argument.
Right, if you say excuse me.
If you say excuse me once, then everyone should just go about their way.
Right.
It sounds like, because, but it doesn't really work that way.
You're making out while we're trying to order.
Step back.
Excuse me?
Step the back.
Excuse me? Excuse me?
She keeps saying excuse me, like that's the winner. It just isn't.
Why don't you step the back?
Can you call the cops?
Can you call the cops on him?
I'm getting all this on video. So we'll see who's harassing who later.
You're your girlfriend in a public restaurant acting like a prostitute.
Okay, now, by all accounts, he was not having sex with her.
That's my understanding as well, yes.
Okay.
You need to leave. You told me to leave while I'm in my order while you're making out with that
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
You're such an airhead. You're so dumb. You're sexually harassing me. You and that
Now... I'm pretty positive that's not sexual harassment.
Yeah, I agree. And I'm really trying to wrap my head around this, because even if you're offended, even if you're a deeply religious person, you have some sort of – it's cooties if you see boys and girls touching or whatever it is. Once they stop, why are you still harassing them? Why are you still on top of them and screaming at them? They're not even doing it anymore.
Well, you are harboring a lot of and you're just letting it all out. So
you know
ahead.
What?
Go ahead. This is cathartic.
I don't want to watch you make out with that person while I'm trying to order
Good.
Food.
There's the door right there.
I want my money back.
All right. So then she goes and she starts asking for her money back.
Yes. Oh, my gosh.
She wants her money back. She spent $20 or something like that.
Well, go get a room if you want to. I mean, I don't want to watch it. It's disgusting. It's disturbing. Do you know how much I want to puke on both of you? You are the ugliest I've ever seen. You look like a little boy. And for me to actually watch you have sex in public is disgusting.
Now there's a decent line. It looks like there's a line of like six people behind this couple. And they're all just watching like, all right, didn't know we got a show.
You are such a slut. You're a dumb Go yourself. You are such a You are such an Both of you. Both of you are
Bye.
Okay.
Goodbye.
Bye now. So I think she's walking toward the door.
You're stalking me. Do you know? I'm going to press sexual harassment and stalking charges on you.
Go for it.
You're stalking me.
All right. First of all, she needs to be put down. But second of all,
she said goodbye. Does that qualify as stalking?
He's trying to be done with this, as any right-thinking person would be. By the way, where's restaurant management? Why aren't they trying to separate these people and get one of them to leave the store?
A guy on the phone with restaurant management, and he's saying she wants her money back, and then she starts yelling at him for talking to the manager, and then she says, I want to talk to the manager. And then the guy who was kissing the girl said, well, he's on the phone with the manager. Just ask him for the phone. She's like, no, I'll call separately.
All right. Please. So let me
Let
me ask you this. Is it okay to talk about the identity of the woman revealed after the video?
I think so, because I feel like that also might be an answer to what this is.
That's what I'm going to ask you and Allie in Conspiracy Corner here, and that is she turns out to be a cam girl. She makes her money by doing things on the internet for money. Mm-hmm. Is it
for
possible
for Modern Family?
No, unrelated.
What?
Yeah, is it possible that you were sort of right, Kevin, that this is a publicity stunt? She intentionally created this scene.
All right, what Bean's trying to say is she is trying to get publicity because she's a cam girl.
If you watch that and you said to yourself,
I want
to do this to that, you are insane and you need to be put down.
You're off your meds as well.
Yes.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 9:36, just ahead of the Ralph Showbiz beat. Lightning has joined us in studio.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
No,
that's
Ralph.
That's good.
What?
Yeah, it's not.
Doing.
I'm right here.
No, he's right there. Lightning's right there.
I know, right?
What is it like, Lightning, watching him do you?
He does it better me than me.
I love it.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
My wife does Ralph doing me.
Everybody
like, she clowns me. Yeah,
you.
It hurts. Yeah. It hurts. Well, we got the inaugural K-Rock Super Games and Brewfest Especial happening tomorrow.
Now, what makes it an Especial?
It sounded good, I guess.
Okay.
Sounded fun.
Continue tomorrow?
Yeah. So what we did is this thing was hatched kind of out of like going to kids' parties and feeling jealous that they got to go in bounce houses and crazy mazes and the whole thing. We thought, what if they had that for adults? And then we mixed in beer.
I like the way you think. First of all, I like the way you think.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Because, you know, you're always standing out there going, I wish I could bounce around in there. So we did that and rented.
When I'm drinking a beer, I'm thinking, boy, I really wish I was bouncing. That's what I think about. I wish my beer and I were just sloshing up in the air. That's what I always think when I'm drinking beer.
Well, I mean,
you're
also
right. You've nailed it, Lightning.
So for those people that are maybe a little hesitant on bounce houses, things like that, we've got cornhole. We have mega pong, which is beer pong with volleyballs in giant trash cans.
I like it.
It's a really creative use of these existing, you know, toys and stuff to make drinking games out of. And it's taking over the whole infield tomorrow at Santa Anita.
Huh.
It's going to be a blast.
Yeah.
It sounds fun.
You're not allowed, Kevin.
I know.
Oh,
you're being
punished. I've been banned. Kevin's been banned.
Kevin shot me in the eye yesterday with a Nerf gun, and it still hurts.
Didn't happen. That's
so
alleged.
I don't trust you. Allie, I'd love you to show up.
I am super busy.
Okay. All right.
You're excluded from chicken parmesan.
That's true.
Yeah, so
I did throw a mug, and it hit a woman in the forehead.
Literally a mug.
Like
a stein.
It was a stein.
A stein.
It was super heavy.
Kevin, it would be a good idea to throw steins into the audience at the Santa Anita racetrack
and,
one time.
It stunned her. She's probably still in a coma, so I'm not allowed. But
your
continue.
Aim is suspect.
Yeah. Right,
so it's got a whole bunch of stuff. We're dunking beer mug, and that's part of it. You come down. We've also got K-Rock Weenie Roast tickets, which, as you know, we haven't announced the bands or any of that stuff. But this is the first opportunity to get those tickets. And it's going to be a great time.
And we have a giveaway now or no?
Yes, absolutely.
Wait. This all sounds fine and good, but are there trucker hats?
There are few trucker hats.
Great
question.
Now we're on board.
Thank you
by
for reminding me.
By the way, lead with trucker hats.
I should have said that. Admission, only $5.
$5?
Only $5 to get in. Infield.
We should raise
tomorrow.
That. That's a terrible. We're not making any money
it's
that way.
It's not a great business model.
No,
right?
It's not.
No.
What are we giving away?
I think we have a 4-pack of VIP tickets.
Okay.
And we'll do caller 20. How about that?
All right. 1-800-520-1067 is the number. Caller 20. You will win a 4-pack of VIP tickets.
Yes. We'll see you guys all out there except Kevin.
Got to be 21 or older to go to
this
thing,
correct,
right?
Yes.
Thank you for
just
the reminder. Yes, Ralph.
Make sure people know so they don't truck their kids out and then next
thing.
I
know they hear bounce houses, but no.
Yeah,
this is just for us being
just
stupid.
For the grown-ups.
Yep.
Right.
Okay. Cool. Thanks, guys.
All right. Thank you, lady. Time for the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph Garman.
I know, right?
Now we're done.
We have volleyballs and giant trash cans of beer.
Now we're done. We're done with Lightning now.
It's a trash can of beer and everybody drinks out of it.
Lightning does love him some microphone.
He does.
At these events.
Yes. What happened to that kid's bass? There's no bass.
I don't
in
know
voice.
Why he. I don't know where the bass went.
Where'd my camera go, too? By the way, where'd that come from? There it is.
Are we still doing that? Are we still doing the camera thing?
Hasn't really changed.
Okay, all right. Let me make a note.
I don't know.
Still doing camera.
It's been 20 years now. We've been having the camera sound effect. How long has that been?
I already made a note now. We're good.
Did you make a note?
Uh-huh.
That's great. This is an interesting casting announcement. They're making a movie about former Vice President Dick Cheney. I think you'd be surprised when you hear who's going to be playing Dick. Who would you cast as Dick? Dick Cheney.
Dick Cheney, Dick.
Who would you cast as Dick Cheney?
Yeah.
Gary Busey?
Gary Busey. Hmm.
Who's the guy, Third Rock from the Sun guy, played Churchill on the
John Lithgow?
Yes. I'd maybe go that route.
That's an interesting choice, I think. You know who I don't think of, doesn't spring to mind immediately, is the guy who's playing him, Christian Bale. Christian Bale
I'm
is
sorry.
Dick Cheney. That doesn't spring to my mind automatically.
Christian Bale
what?
Dick Cheney?
Is there a different Dick Cheney that we don't know about?
No, this is the one from the government one. Steve Carell's going to play Donald Rumsfeld.
What don't you understand?
We understand. We're just questioning it.
And Amy Adams will play Dick's wife, Lynn Cheney.
Now, don't just be sorry. Think for one second.
I don't see
what the are you doing?
You're a remarkable actor.
Are you professional or not?
I'd like to think I am, but it surprises me that you...
What don't you understand?
Well, it's just Dick Cheney is a heavyset, old, bald gentleman, and you are a young, fit Brit.
Oh, good for you! Well, and how was it?
I don't know. I haven't seen it yet. I'm assuming you'll be fine, but I'm just shocked by the news. Right?
Christian Bale is 43. Dick Cheney is how old?
Well, I'm assuming this will take place during the Bush administration, I guess?
He's 76 now, so he was in his 60s, right?
Well,
late 50s?
Late 50s, yeah. Look, I mean, Christian Bale can change himself. He's a chameleon.
Right.
But still.
He can, actually.
Yeah, I know.
But still.
Oscar
Bale.
Isn't that what happens when you ugly yourself up?
Usually it is.
Not saying Dick Cheney's not hot.
Right.
He is.
You better say that or he'll shoot you in the face.
Right?
Right?
He shot a guy in the face.
His best
on
friend.
On TV.
Dick, 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 Dick Cheney, Dick, 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 Dick Cheney, Dick, 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 Dick Cheney, Dick.
Sad news. Don Rickles has passed away. The legendary comedian passed away yesterday at 90 of kidney failure. He was a legendary nightclub comedian, also a frequent late night talk show host, guest rather, Mr. Potato Head in the Toy Story movies, for those of you with kids, but an actor too, did movies and television, just a tremendous career, and loved by everybody who worked with him, including our pal Jimmy Kimmel, who gave a tearful tribute to his friend Don Rickles last night on his show, and recounted a great story about Don Rickles hanging out with Frank Sinatra and Bob Newhart at a high-end restaurant in Beverly Hills one time. Here's the story.
Sinatra would sometimes get angry for whatever reason and flip out. So one night, they were all at a big table at a very fancy restaurant, and the restaurant was all white. Everything was white, the walls of the tablecloths, everything. And Don and Barbara, his wife, and Bob and his wife, Ginny, were at the table, and Frank was drinking, and he was not in a good mood. He was getting surly, which put everyone on edge. When Frank wasn't happy, you had to watch it. So they're drinking, and the food comes, and the waiter brings a bottle of ketchup and puts it on the table in front of Frank. And for whatever reason, this sends Frank into a rage. He doesn't want ketchup on the table, so he takes the bottle, and a very crowded, elegant restaurant, he throws it at the wall, and the bottle smashes, and there's ketchup everywhere, and everyone in the restaurant stops. There's like a gasp. And Don, without missing a beat, turns and says, "Frank, will you pass the ketchup?"
Come on! That's genius.
Yeah.
He's going to be missed. And earlier today, we were talking about a kid named Jacob Stoudemire. Jacob is a kid in Arizona who was looking for a date to his high school prom. One of his favorite movies was La La Land, and one of his favorite actresses is Emma Stone. Has kind of a crush on her. So he did a video promposal asking Emma Stone to go to the prom with him. And what he did was he recreated the opening scene of La La Land, altering the lyrics of the song Another Day of Sun to the Valley of the Sun, where he is there in Phoenix asking Emma Stone to the prom. And we had a heated debate this morning about whether it was appropriate, whether it was cute, was it obnoxious, was it gross. There was all kinds of attitude being thrown around this video.
Right.
Well, Emma Stone has responded to the video.
Ah.
Here was her statement. Jacob, thanks for making the greatest proposal I've ever received. I can't tell you what an honor that was and how much I smiled through that entire beautifully orchestrated video. I'm in London working, but I hope you have the best time at prom, and I'm grateful you thought of me. Thank you. P.S. I do see Gosling around the eyes. Love, Emma. That was her statement. So she will not be able to attend the prom with him, but she did respond.
But what about all of the pressure and the outrage that people are...
Apparently she was fine with it. Apparently Emma was fine with it, and it's a happy ending. Everybody loves Emma, and everybody loves this kid, and he'll go to the prom with one of his classmates.
Some
and,
loser Sally from science class.
I wish someone had asked Allie to the prom.
Right.
Because there's
a lot of trouble.
There's a lot of residual anger,
thank
I
you.
Think.
Thank you. I went to three.
Yeah.
I went to three proms, yeah. But no big deal.
I can tell.
I was kind of amazing.
If you'd like to ask Allie to your prom.
Right. She would probably like it. Do a video.
You,
that's right. Put a video together.
Put it together and be cute and charming.
No,
and
this
I bet
is celebrities.
I bet you Allie
not
will make
some
your
loser on the radio.
Date.
Nope.
And make your event shine.
No, sir.
With her bubbly,
I reject
effervescent
it.
Attitudes towards kids and prompts. Today's celebrity birthday is Francis Ford Coppola, 78 years old today. Jackie Chan,
hey!
Is 63.
63?
Still doing his own stunts, by the way. Still amazing.
That's insanity.
Russell Crowe is 53 years old. I don't think he's doing his own stunts anymore.
No.
Unless that stunt involves glug, 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 glug. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Okay. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. On your drive home today, listen to a commercial-free 5 p.m. hour random act of helpfulness from the SoCal Helpful Honda dealers. We mentioned a minute ago that I was not allowed at Santa Anita, which is
right.
True. You know where I am allowed?
Where?
Bicycle Hotel and Casino. Mm.
Well, sure, because it's Guys Night Out.
They'll have me. Guys Night Out.
They only let guys in there
nope.
At that hotel and casino. I heard.
Guys and girls, welcome. Mm. Starts at 9 p.m. And if you'd like to RSVP, you can get your spot at thebike.com. Thebike.com. And we'll see you tonight at 9 o'clock. And we'll see you Monday morning when we have Mr. Mother Effing T.
What? Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Fresno, what you sipping?
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Oh, this is sad now. It's just sad.
Roll another one.
I don't want to know about bad things at all.
Just like the other one.
I don't understand any of you.
This one seems to be about to quit.
You can't argue. Failure.
I need another hit.
Anyway, one more and a couple more, and hope everybody gets straight.
All right! I love mimes!
Roll.
The best tonic is chronic.
Roll.
Please, Kevin, not in the face!
Another one.
Do you have any marijuana I might be able to buy from you?
Just like.
Well said, Kevin.
Thank you.
This one seems to be about to end. But I don't have another cent.
Down, let's go home.
And that's lunch. 1 hour.
Anyway, I'm out of here. Head down that road and avoid those check holes. When is the government going to fill those holes with concrete?
This is the CBS Radio Network.
Hey, guys. I just wanted to ask a favor. Can you please shut the f*** up? Thanks, bye.
This was a success.